in town for another big show last night at the Hollywood Bowl, the conclusion of the Boys of Summer Tour Fallout Boy here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Pete Wentz, how are you, man?
What's up?
Good. I'm
good. Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Welcome back to K-Rock. I feel like it's been a while since you've graced us with your presence, but you guys have been busy, it seems like.
Yeah, we have. This summer was pretty crazy, just in general. It's been, you know, hectic with the touring and whatnot, but...
Let's talk about that tour, because now that... So last night was the last night of the Boys of Summer Tour. Mm-hmm. That was you and Wiz Khalifa.
Yes.
He must have the greatest weed in the world, right?
He does.
Being on tour with him must be just the best.
Well, he does. I personally don't smoke weed because I get, like, too paranoid. Like, I'm, like, sure the cops are, like, right. Like, I'm like, are you a cop? Or what's happening? You know, whatever. I'm not fun to be around. I smelled his weed a bunch, and it's like the kind of weed that smells really... I was like, wow, I really wish I smoked this.
Yeah, you know, there's people that have the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, right.
His is his own strain, so...
Oh, he like, sweet.
I don't know how it works, but it's very scientific, I believe.
He just seems... And by the way, he seems like a guy who is very productive on weed. Like some people, they're burnouts. They're just worthless for the rest of the day. Wiz seems like a super functioning pot smoker. Like he still gets his stuff done, you know what
I
mean?
He definitely does. I'm like... I don't know. Like when I've smoked weed before, it's like I invent desserts to eat. That's as productive as I get.
That's the problem with weed, isn't it?
Was that fun? I mean, was it everything you thought it would be when you guys came up with the concept of going out together on this trip?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. I think it's cool when you're like 15 years into doing a band and you can still surprise yourself. You know, like it was interesting. We did a lot of collaborations. We did a remix of his. He did a remix of ours. And just hanging out with him was exciting because he was stoked in a completely different way, you know. And then it was interesting because after every show, there was like a crazy after party. And we're like all out there like as parents. And I'd be like, you know, like in the shower in our dressing room. And it's just like all bass and like Fetty Wap. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening?
How did that whole idea come about?
You know, when we're doing these amphitheater runs, we kind of look for someone who's similar to Fallout Boy, like kindred spirits in the way. Because, like, I feel like we're a band that sometimes it's hard to kind of put in a category of where we fit in.
Yeah, you're
world.
Sort of your own category.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we look for someone else who's like that, and we reached out to Wiz, and he was open to it. And then you never really know until you go on tour, you're like, whether you're going to get along, whether it's going to be a lot of egos, you know. Because some tours you go on, and they got to keep the dressing rooms far apart, and, you know, like, no one really interacts. But it was like... Right away, hanging out, you know, like I went into his room. His room is like a rock band from the 70s, you know, or 80s. Like it's like all black lights. It's like bandanas. There's this thing called a love sack in there. There's like a...
I'm sorry. Let's go back to the love sack.
The love sack, yes. The love sack is not... is not what people would think it is. It's actually from this like store in like the mall where they... And it's made out of like... what's it called? Memory foam or something. It's this giant ball. It's like, once you get on it, you will not get off of it. And I see it under a black light, so I know that it's not been used as a love sack.
Good.
But then there's this French bulldog in there named Vincent. It's just like so, it's very interesting. It's cool to see, like, I was like, gosh darn it, somebody's doing it right.
All right, so Fall Out Boy's done with the Boys of Summer Tour. Then you're playing some state fairs across the country, and then you head to Europe. Now, I noticed you're playing Russia. Have you guys done that before? Have you been to Russia?
We have. We've been to Russia three times now.
What is that like, and how available is Fall Out Boy music in places like Moscow and St. Petersburg?
Russia. So we went over one time, and we played a private show for this billionaire that controlled all of the power in Russia, and that was an experience that was absolutely insane. We finished our set, and the guy was like, you're not done. And we were like, no, we don't have any more songs. And he's like, play Arms Race Again. And we were like, oh, my God, this is like, this man has never heard
really?
No. You know, like, he was like, Estonia with Russia, I turn off the power to Estonia. I'm like, oh, my God, this is insane. But honestly, when we go over there and play our own shows, the kids are really hungry, and they're, like, stoked, and they're stoked on Western culture, and they're stoked on the bands, and they're really free thinking. It's like no different than anywhere else. I don't know how
they know the words. Probably not.
Do, but maybe they know it like phonetically. I'm not sure. A lot of the younger kids speak English pretty well over there. Mm-hmm. It's interesting though. Like it's one of those places like where we land and there's 1,000 kids at the airport. I'm like, oh my God, it's like, this is what it would have been like to be Michael Jackson everywhere. You know?
And are you ever nervous just being on stage and just having Western thoughts and Western ideas, like what you can and can't say from the stage? Because, you know, there are people who go to Russia and don't come back. You know that, Pete.
Not to put anything in your head, but that can happen.
Yeah, I mean that
free pussy ride. I mean, come on.
I feel like that might have almost happened to me, but it was from drinking. I almost didn't come back from that.
Got it.
But no, because I think that as a band, like, we're respectful of other people's ideas and cultures. Like, I mean, I'm gonna be myself on stage, but I'm also like. Being the difference between 36 and 26 is like before you would go over there and you're like, I'm gonna stage dive and say like
I'm gonna liberate
everybody.
This country,
you know,
man.
Like, and it's like you realize that you probably have more of an impact if you go in and you're respectful to people and that kind of thing. And so
yeah, you're there to rock, not to revolution.
Absolutely,
gotcha.
What right, about the voice? That, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What about Europe? Is it? Are there some countries that are bigger fans of yours than others? You get. Great response some places and less response others?
Definitely. I mean, it's interesting because there's some places, like when we've been going to Germany for a long time, there's like people who are like, Pete Wentz from One Tree Hill. And I'm like, oh my God. You know? So, because I did this like 3-episode arc on One Tree Hill like 12 years ago.
And that's what they know you
like,
from.
They'll bring the DVDs.
Dude, you're TV famous now.
Yeah, so that's interesting. No, but Europe has been super supportive of us, and especially like Radio 1 in the UK has been really gotten behind us, so it's cool.
That's awesome. That's the voice of Pete Wentz here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Fallout Boy is in the house. The rest of the guys are down the hall continuing to warm up. We saw a little bit of that earlier. How often do you guys play acoustic? Because I know you're going to be performing for us here in a couple minutes. Is this a frequent thing you do?
Often enough that people expect us to do it, and not often enough to really always pull off all the songs.
So you don't feel okay. You're right at the level where you don't feel quite comfortable.
Yeah, yet. Totally. All it's right. Like it's like when you're on the JV squad and you're starting in the big game. That kind of
gotcha.
Thing.
Gotcha. All right, come for the interview. Stay for the musical train wreck. More with our guest Pete Wentz right after this on Fallout Boy K-Rock. And we are back with our guest, Pete Wentz, from the band Fallout Boy, here on the world-famous K-Rock Kevin and Bean Show. The guys are going to be performing live here in just a couple minutes down the hall at the Red Bull Sound Space. Let's talk about Fallout Boy 2015. I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, Pete, this is your biggest year you guys have ever had as a band. I feel like you're everywhere and you're everything right now.
I think so. It's definitely like a different kind of big. You know, like I think that there was in 2005 or 2006, there was like this TRL thing and it was big, but it was like... it was like super specific, you know, like it's a super specific thing. And I think
a real narrow.
Yeah. You know, group? Like, yeah, group. And now it's
mainstream.
Yeah. It's a little bit more mainstream. It seems like.
And you guys are happy. And, I mean, the reason I ask is because, you know, you took that time off and it seems like you guys came back and everything was better than ever. And it seems like it's been going strong now for a few years.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that you get some perspective, especially like, you know, like, I mean, I feel like life for everyone, but it's probably magnified a little bit if you're an entertainer, is a roller coaster. So you learn to appreciate the ups and kind of get through the downs, you know, or whatever. And I think that taking that time off, A, gave us some perspective about how lucky we are to do the thing that we get, you know, love to do with our friends. And then also you appreciate it a little bit more, I think.
It's a sort of a different world, too, in getting your music out there. And it seems like you've been really – was it – the Final Four or the NBA Finals? I can't remember. With Centuries?
Centuries was in college football.
College football.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's been kind of – I think that the interesting thing for being a rock band is, you know, people are like, you know, like rock music can't exist and isn't in the mainstream. And I'm like, it is, but we just have to find different ways to kind of like penetrate it and different ways to kind of infiltrate, you know, and whether that's sports have been really into some of our new music, and it's interesting because maybe one or two of us know anything about sports. but I think that finding any way to infiltrate, or when we got to do work on this Disney movie, Big Hero 6,
Big
and it's
6,
cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's stuff that we wouldn't have really thought of doing before, I think, maybe 10 years ago.
Is it depressing for you at all, Pete, like it is for us who are lifelong rock and roll fans to look around and it's so hard to find rock? You're right, it's still out there, but it's not on the radio and it's not on TV. There are guys like you are very few and far between right now. Does it bum you out?
It does us.
I mean, we feel like we're on an island over here looking at a big, big ocean of everybody. It's all Seacrest over there that we're just like hanging out over here just trying to hang on.
No, I mean, I feel like it's interesting because obviously there's going to be – like it's all cyclical and like there is going to be something with guitars. I personally believe there'll be something with guitars. It just – I think that one of the things that us as rock bands have to do is think outside of the normal box of rock and roll a little bit, and like whether that means like guys like – Hozier. Is that how you say his name?
Hozier. Yeah.
Hozier, or something. Right. Like, just like things that are interesting. It's like this guy's maybe like in a basement in the woods in Ireland and comes up with this song that's just, you know, everywhere. You
he
know,
puts
whatever.
It on SoundCloud. Yeah. One guy finds it and it's just,
and it's everywhere. Yeah. You know? And I think if you write cool, good music, I think that there's room for that. I also think that, you know, I got Trey Cool from Green Day came out to a show the other night, and it was so cool, man, because it's like we grew up on Green Day and then got to induct them into the Hall of Fame, but then to have them come out and like watch us was a really cool thing. And I think that finding other kindred spirits in the rock world and interacting with them, I think that there's room and supporting younger bands, you know, like I think that it's like the same thing as it's a similar thing as, you know, people are like, oh, why doesn't the MTV play videos? And it's like, because you don't want to, because you watch, all you watch is the, like, reality TV on MTV. So it's like, I think that if we want rock bands to do more stuff, we have to support rock, young rock bands, you know, and really embolden them, you know?
Like you're doing with Wiz Khalifa.
Damn it.
Fallout Boy is
currently
here.
Giving them guitar lessons.
J-Rock, they're going to be performing live on the Kevin Abid Show in just a couple minutes. Our final moments with Pete Wentz. I have to ask you about Uma Thurman because it's sure. A huge, huge record here on K-Rock. And it's so bizarre. Like, how do those things come together in a song? You know, like, how is the Munsters and how is Uma Thurman both in the same song? Take me back to when and how that came together and was written.
So the song, the track itself was written first. And we got a bunch of these together and we play them for our friends. And, like, that's kind of how we decide what stuff we're going to work on and what stuff we're not going to work on. Because I think putting time into every single stupid idea we have doesn't make sense. And this one's, like, was when we were playing it for people, we were like, this one's kind of pretty far afield, you know?
All right, this is out there, but stick with us.
Yeah, yeah. So people would be like, oh, you guys are using the, like, Quentin Tarantino riff, you know, like when they heard the Munster sample. And we were like, oh, my God, like, that's what everybody keeps saying. And
but that's not what you intended at all.
That was not the original intention. But then it was like, why don't we write somehow write about it? And originally it went into Pulp Fiction, but we actually wrote a lot Uma Thurman much more towards Kill Bill Uma Thurman. And then sent it to Uma Thurman to be like, is it okay if we name the song this? Yeah, and that's kind of like, I guess, how it started. But it was, I mean, it's wild to think that it gets played on the radio. Because the beginning of the inception of the song is so strange.
Oh, it's insane, yeah. It really is. But it's great. And the video that you put out is great. And I know that there's a big push now for the MTV Video Music Awards and all that.
There is, yeah. I mean, I think that the VMAs is a place that has supported Fall Out Boy from the beginning and gave us, you know, attention long before we probably deserved any attention. That video was fun because this is what we do when Fall Out Boy makes videos. We're like, I think we I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this. I think we screw with our label a little bit sometimes because we'll just be like, can we get monkeys in a video? But like this one, it was like, what can we ask for? That's like
that they won't.
Right, yeah, that's right on the line. That like is, you know. And we were like, let's get a tank. So the video like was really based around getting a tank.
So you wanted to get a tank, and you decided to make the video that so you could get a tank.
Yes.
And then you run over a truck with it.
Yes.
If MTV and I don't think this is a category yet, but if they come up with a category of best music video featuring a zebra, I think you're in. I think
the
you win,
maybe.
Well, it's a great video and it's a
Thank
great
you.
Song, and we're hearing nothing but raves about Last Night at the Hollywood Bowl and the end of the Boys of Summer Tour. But as you said, you got some fair tour shows still ahead, and then you're off to Europe, and then at some point you looking forward to taking some time off again.
Definitely, after I make that churro money, I'm taking the time off.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for stopping by here in the studio. We'll reunite you with your band down the hall and get a little live acoustic music here. As you said, it's 50-50 on how this is going to go off, but we'll be looking forward to it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Down the hall here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space. Kevin, you are on stage with a bunch of acoustic guitars. What's going on?
Well, I think that I've joined the band.
Congratulations.
Thank
You're
you.
Going to be terrific with them.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Fall Out Boy.
Some legends are told. Some tings and gods start to go. You will remember me. Remember me. For centuries, just wanna stay is all it will take. Go down in history. Remember me for centuries. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Remember me for centuries.
Space, and that's Fallout Boy. How about that, people? Come on. There's like 30 people here, B.
This is awesome. Sounds great. Let's do some more from the guys.
We do want to say thank you to K-Rock. They've been there since the very beginning for our band, so it's cool to be here 10 years, 12 years later. Play a new song right now.
I can't move mountains. I could work a miracle. Work a miracle. Chief, you like, you know,
them nothing but death do us by.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, marry me till I confess. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, and I can't get you out of my. Walk a miracle, uh-oh, keep you like, you know.
Them nothing but them do us by.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, marry me till I confess. Oh, she wants to dance like high. You find your way and then get
and fast. She wants a dance like Uma Thurman in a chain. Get you out of my head. I can move mountains. I could work your miracle. Work your miracle. Oh, gee, you like an old man, nothing but damn to us by. I can move mountains. I could work your miracle. Work your miracle.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fall Out Boy at the Red Bull Sound Space. How about that?
Come on. That was awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. We had a great time. Thank you for coming to K-Rock. A little less than 1 hour from right now on the Kevin Amin Show, we are going to world premiere a brand new song. It is called R.I.P. to My Youth. And the band that recorded that song, The Neighborhood, is going to be in here in the studio with us as we play it. So we'll all get a chance to hear it together. That's The Neighborhood's new single, 1 hour from right now here on The Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. Hey, tell everybody.
I'm so excited that we finally have time for Old Timey Bean.
Finally. Ah.
Because Bean uses terminology that I believe is pre-1940.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The majority of his vocabulary, I believe, stems from gold miners from the 1800s from San Francisco. So a while back, the last guy to talk like Bean had a pack mule and was going to the assayer's office to see how much his gold nuggets were worth.
Guys, I'm here. You're talking about me as if I'm dead or off or something. What's this about? Is this
a while back? Chip started keeping track of things that only Bean says, old timey Bean phrases. So I have some examples.
Well, that's not a thing.
Well, it is a thing now. As of right now, old timey Bean. Number one.
We had that story just a couple of days ago about that kerfuffle that erupted with a 15-year-old autistic girl and the plane being diverted.
So, kerfuffle.
I believe Ralph Garman is also a fan of the kerfuffle.
I've heard of it, but I don't use it in conversation.
I'm familiar
with the word because I did take history lessons.
So let me make sure I understand the point of this, Kevin. Are you saying kerfuffle is not a legitimate word to be used in 2015? Like I should retire that?
I'm saying you're the only one using it, so that's up to you.
Cracker Barrel Joe and an Indian had a kerfuffle over his gold mine deed.
I'm saying you make that choice. Nobody else is using that word.
All right. There was a kerfuffle down by the general store near the pickle barrel.
All right, this is when the Clippers got knocked out of the playoffs.
But I was super bummed for Dave because when they were up 3-1 in this series against Houston, at that point, there's almost no question they're going to advance, right? They got him in the catbird seat.
I just, what?
It's an expression about being in an advantageous position.
Okay. It's an expression from the 1920s. I S you not. That's when the catbird seat was popular.
I have never
heard
that before.
Bee's knees and the cat's pajamas.
Allie, help me out here. You're a she-bee. The catbird seat is a completely legitimate thing to say, isn't it?
Never heard it. Ever. I loved it, though.
Come well, on, we have to look guys. Out for Hitler and the Jerrys now. They're in the catbird seat against Russia.
We were talking about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao.
I don't know why. I would always think that, you know, maybe I watch too many Rocky movies, but I always think this is your Eye of the Tiger moment where you've just got to be mad and you've got to be focused. But some guys are able to just go loosey-goosey on it.
They go loosey-goosey on it. They do. That's what some people do.
Meaning that you're relaxed.
We know what it means.
You're not...
Okay. We understand what they mean. I'm just saying.
All right. Then
I know the old town drunk is loosey-goosey down by the sawmill.
Then my point is if everybody understands what I'm talking about, why change?
Because
what's the problem here?
It's the 21st century.
Unless you're a prospector, you should not be using this language. All right. This is after Beer Mug.
Oh, come on. That's got to be it.
Are you kidding? I have another half hour. This is after Beer Mug hung up on the Bono. I think it was Beer Mug.
What was the rush, Kevin, to give Bono that extra 1 second to say goodbye? What was the rush? What were you headed off to? You're not running in Pimlico. What's happening?
I don't even know what that means.
What?
Now, that I honestly don't know what it means.
That's from the horse racing, Kevin. Pimlico.
Pimlico is a horse race?
Yes, yeah. It's where the Preakness is held every year. It's part of the Triple Crown. It's a pretty famous horse race.
Don't yell at me.
It's a racetrack.
It's a legitimate reference to a popular racetrack.
Thoroughbred racing is the sport of kings. Out in Pimlico. Come on out and watch the ponies run. Joan Crawford will be there with her date.
It's in Baltimore.
Here is another one where Ralph's starting the showbiz.
Hey, looky, it's Ralph Garman with the showbiz beat, and I understand a special prize in the cereal box this morning. What's
looky.
Going on?
Looky and special prize in the cereal box. I go 70s. Maybe this is like 30 years better than the 40s.
I don't know who's still looking in the cereal box for a prize. Yeah,
do they not do those anymore?
I don't know because I'm not an eight. I'm not a child.
We were talking about Heidi Klum.
Oh, come on. We got to be done by now.
We were talking about Heidi Klum, and I left some of Ralph mocking Bean on this clip because it's so good.
We need to check in with our friend Taylor Williamson and find out what he's doing for his lady love on her birthday.
Mm. Lady love. Who uses that phrase? Except for Lou Rawls. Who uses the phrase lady love? This dude was lady love.
His paramour. His betrothed. All legitimate words, by the way.
If you are Shakespeare.
Yeah, they're in the dictionary. I'm not saying they're not.
But they're, look.
If the first Queen Elizabeth is still alive, then you can use those phrases.
I thought it was delightful. Lady love was delightful.
Thank you, Allie.
Wherefore art thou, my lady love? For the sun setteth among the plaineth and provide all the birds chirping amongst the brains of my skull.
So what's your point?
My point is I have four more, but I'll just play one, and then we'll tell you the point.
I have been to Third Man Records in Nashville.
Is it in a scary part of town?
It's a little. It's a wee bit dodgy. Yeah.
I say, Governor, it's a wee bit dodgy. I heard that Jack the Ripper's around there. There, the White Castle Butcher. Look out! Look out in Whitechapel, all you young prostitutes. It's a wee bit dodgy, sir. Please, sir, can I have some more? Hey, look here, there's Charles Dickens walking down the street.
Oh, God.
The point is you keep doing what you're doing. That's the point.
Yeah. Okay.
You're magic.
Good. Right. So how did this topic come up the other day in the office?
I don't remember. Why were we talking to how did it come up, Allie? Allie told us a story. When she was a kid, she used to think that you could turn off the TV and then it would pause there.
Yeah, if you had to go to the bathroom or get a popsicle.
And then she would come back to the TV and expect it to pick up where it left off.
I tried it numerous times, thinking maybe it just, I didn't press it in hard
enough.
Didn't
do it right.
Yeah, yeah.
How long? Until like last year?
A couple years ago. Oh. No, this was, so when I was like 5 or 6, I would be watching Croft Superstars, that type of thing, and you have to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Your parents aren't up. They can't turn it off for you.
Right.
So you would press the off button.
So you would turn it off because your understanding was it would stay there.
It would
there.
Stay at that point.
Because otherwise you would just leave it on.
Right.
Okay.
Come Look. Back in, and they had strangely continued the show, which is just bizarre.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it, but you might be right.
I'm going to give Allie and whoever else we talk to, if you're 5 and you call us right now, 1-800-520-1067 about things that you believed as a kid that maybe upon reflection as an adult you realize maybe weren't that smart.
We're only taking calls from 5-year-olds.
I'm just saying if you're young and you think something is a way and then you find out it's not. But I give Allie and all the kids the benefit of the doubt because television and radio and movies, they're just magic when you're that age. You can't there's no way you can begin to understand how that stuff works.
I still don't get how it works, Bane.
But I mean, in Allie's mind, watching TV was like reading a book. And if you open a book and leave it on a certain page and go away, when you come back, it's still on the same page. So that kind of makes sense to me.
But time she did it, it failed.
It a couple times.
All right, now we brought in Beer Mug because he can always top on the dumb scale.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Mugs, when you were a kid.
When I was a kid, it all started when I watched Ghostbusters on VHS, the first one. I used to think that when I put the VHS tape in the VCR that somehow all the actors in the movie were standing by to act out the movie for me.
So they were live someplace else.
Yes.
Why? But you understood you were putting a tape in a machine.
I did, and somehow I thought that tape was a signal to them to
hey, somebody's watching,
yes,
start acting again.
Exactly. I don't know why. I was 5 years old. Yeah. That's what I thought.
I bet a lot of kids growing up thinking the radio was just bands standing by waiting to play.
Yeah. I have read that in numerous accounts of people's lives where they have said they are amazed that the Beatles were up at 2 o'clock in the morning and ready to perform. Like, when do they sleep? They seem like they're always able to play. Look, a lot of – that's the thing, man. When you're learning as you go, you got to figure all that stuff out. It totally makes sense.
Agree. And you still can't get pregnant in a hot tub, right?
That's correct.
Okay. That actually is true. By the way, Kevin, is it only that you don't remember? Because I can't imagine you, of all people, don't have... I'm just saying...
I can't remember.
You do kind of have trouble navigating the world today as an adult. I can't imagine what 10-year-old Kevin was thinking.
I don't know. I can't explain.
All right. Well, we knew that this was going to be an easy one to get calls because everybody has something that they misunderstood as a child. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, we got some good ones already. Let's start with Carol. She's in Cyprus, and she's on line 2 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. What do you have to add to this topic?
When I was 5, my grandma would show me pictures of black and white photos, and I thought that life was black and white back then.
Interesting. So you thought there was a point in history when everything turned to color.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. By the way, I'm so glad you called with that, Carol. There's a show that's on the History Channel now that's called World War II in Color. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or seen it, but it still looks freaky to see that era of history in color. Like, you forget that it was in color because all the pictures and movies you've ever seen are in black and white. That's how you imagine it to have been. That totally makes sense.
It sounds like Bean still believes with you, Carol.
I think it might be possible. Thank you for the call, Carol. Appreciate it. Let's go to Corona Line 1, please. This is going to be our man, Matt, joining the conversation. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
I believe that Publix was a city full of snobs.
Publix was a city full of snobs?
Please explain.
Yeah. Like, I remember being 6 or 7, and we were out at a mall, and I burped. And my dad kind of swatted me and told me, you can't do that out in public. And I just thought, I hate this city.
So everything you did that was bad, you couldn't do in public, which was a horrible city to go to.
Yes. I did not understand why we would even go there.
What an oppressive city.
Do anything.
That's awesome.
That city was the worst.
Public sucks,
Public
Matt.
Does suck. I think you're right.
Yeah,
that's
I
strong.
I still hate it to this day.
Me too.
Thank you for the call. Here's one. My dad told me that I had to eventually pay him back for all the food I ate as a child. My grandmother was also a daycare provider. When I saw my dad pay her each week, I assumed he was paying off his debt. That's funny. Let's go to Cody, line 3, please, in Corona. Hey, Cody, welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
When you were little, you thought?
We'd always go out to Huntington Beach, and we'd be on PCH, and where those big smokestacks are where the power plant is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that's where clouds came from.
Oh, they were producing clouds.
Oh,
yeah. I
of
thought
course.
That's where clouds, yeah, it's logical. Right?
So did you look at it like it was a really great thing? I love clouds.
Yeah, you know. And
all
then,
right.
Like, last
darling.
Year when I was, like, 25, somebody told me what it really was and kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah, so. See?
I'm sorry, Cody. Last year?
Yeah, something like that.
He said last year. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Miguel writes in, when I was young, I thought that if people got married on a TV show, they were married in real life.
I always thought Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon, very topical, were married.
Okay. All right.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I thought that when you become an adult, you have to change your name. My name always sounded like a kid's name to me, and my dad's name sounded like a dad's name. So I assumed that he grew up with a kid's name, and then he changed it to an adult name. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Sure.
All right. I want to go to Felix on line 7, please. He's in Corona. I want to see how he explains this one.
All right, Felix, hi.
Oh, hey. Good morning.
Oh, what a surprise to talk to you.
It is a surprise.
Tell us what you thought when you were a kid.
All right. So when I was a kid, I always believed cartoons were real.
Cartoons were real.
Like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, etc.
Now, we understand cartoons.
Wait, hold on. What are cartoons? But you knew that they didn't look like you. You knew that they didn't look like the things that you could see in your house, right?
Right. But the reason I thought that they were always real is because Space Jam and Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Real people were on TV.
I got you.
So those two movies, they are real. And
so when there's a real person in a cartoon, you thought at some point in life somewhere they were interacting.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Exactly. And I believe that up to 13, until I became 13 years old. And that's when, like, whoa.
Yeah, I can't vouch for you at 13, though.
Yeah.
And 5,
I mean,
yeah.
I guess when you see, I mean, again, when you're really little, if you see a movie where people are with dinosaurs, in your mind, that must be real, right? I mean, I think media is probably the reason for a lot of this confusion. It makes sense anyway.
Yeah. So, all right, 1-800-520-1067. Thank you for the call, Felix. We appreciate it. We'll take your calls when we get back.
Well, let's share that with the class,
nope.
Kevin.
Nope.
No.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:23.
Things you thought when you were a kid. We're going to go to Daisy on line 8 here first. But listen to this. Jennifer writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, I thought Doritos were so hot and spicy, so I put them in the freezer before I would eat them. Yikes, that's embarrassing to admit. Mm. See, that doesn't help. That doesn't help at all.
Sure.
Monica writes in, good morning, guys. When I was a kid, I was a chunker, and I used to think, I guess I was around 8 or 9 years old, that if I slept on my stomach, all the fat would just go away and I would wake up skinny. I probably thought this for about a year until I realized that nothing was happening.
That would be awesome.
Right?
Frank writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, at Kevin Bean, when I was five, I thought that real gorillas were attacking towns when I saw news reports of gorilla attacks in small countries. So a lot of good stuff. All right, let's go to Southgate, please, and give me Miss Daisy again. She's on line eight, and she's up first here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, guys. Oh, my gosh, huge fan.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to add, so when I was little, my mom would watch all of her soap operas, and I actually thought that that was, like, real people with their real-life drama, and there was maybe, like, hidden cameras to show to the world what was going on.
So you knew about reality shows before reality shows were here. You thought that was real.
Like, I thought it was real. I didn't know they were actors. I was like, how do they hide the cameras so well? And, like, I would actually go through my closet and stuff, trying to see if I could find a hidden camera of my own. Like, maybe I would get my own show. I don't know. Like, I would actually look through my room.
Wow. That is awesome. Thank you so much for the call, Daisy. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Carly in West Covina. She's on line four. She's got another one that I think maybe TV confused her a little bit. Hey, Carly.
Hi, everyone.
When you were little.
Love you guys.
Thank you
very
much.
When I was little, I thought that when I got to high school, I would have to sing like in Greece.
When you got to high school, it was going to be Greece and you just had to pick a part?
No, I just thought everyone was singing in high school.
You just break out into songs all the time.
Right. So when you were having...
I love that.
I really thought so. I would rehearse. Because I thought that when I got to high school, I'd have to be ready.
You rehearse songs.
I got to be ready, you guys, because first day of 10th grade, they're going to ask me to sing.
Look at that. I love
it. Thank you for the call so much. Let's go to, listen to this, by the way. Ruben writes in, when I was younger, I didn't understand people were actors in movies. When I saw Lou Diamond Phillips die in La Bamba, I could not comprehend how he was alive again to star in Stand and Deliver.
Oh, not my Richie.
It's a great point. Let's go to Anthony, line three, please. He's in Los Angeles. This is like the guy who thought Public was a bad place. Anthony's got another one of those.
Hey, Anthony.
Good morning. I thought Gunpoint was a place.
Gunpoint?
Oh. Yeah, my mom, when I was younger, would make me watch the news with her, and I didn't understand why people would keep going to Gunpoint because they were getting robbed.
Why won't they learn, Mom?
Yes.
Why would anyone go to Gunpoint?
Like, keep going there. She looked at me like, what do you mean? Like, she was confused why I asked that question.
Of course.
I think it's a very reasonable question, Anthony. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's go to line five, please. Pico Rivera, this is going to be Doug. Now, he's got one that's gonna trip you guys, man. Wait till you hear what Doug's got going on.
Hey, Doug.
Okay. Whenever we went to the mall, I noticed that there was an exit on the top floor as well as the bottom floor because it was a two-story mall.
Right.
And they both exited to the parking lot. And I thought this was weird because, I mean, you can't leave on the top floor because, I mean, there's the air there, right?
Right.
But so in my five-year-old me's logic, I obviously thought the top floor exit and bottom floor exit obviously led to alternate dimensions.
Wow.
Whoa.
So you had to make sure you left on the same floor you entered, or you would end up going home to a different house.
You would end up in a completely different universe.
Wow. That is heavy.
And like, others come from that universe to shop at the mall and then go back to their own universe. Obviously, right?
Yeah. Look, that makes sense to me now. I still haven't found the flaw in your logic. I love it. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to line one, please. Riverside. This is going to be Colin. I have a feeling this is something he believed that may have gotten him into trouble on more than one occasion.
Uh-oh. Hey, Colin.
Yeah. Morning, Kevin Bean.
Hi.
Yeah, definitely caused some awkward moments for my mother. So when I was younger, after my mother had my brother, I thought that all women with large bellies were pregnant.
Oh, no.
So, were there times where you went up to a bigger lady and asked when she was having a baby because you just figured she must be pregnant if she's big?
Yeah, there was one specific instance where my mother used to tell me that we were in a video store and I walked up to a very large woman and tapped on her belly and asked her if she had a baby in there.
Nice.
And caused everybody in the room to blush.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
My mom got really upset and had to leave.
All right. Thank you for the call. Aaron writes in, Dear Kevin Bean, when I heard chilly for the weather as a kid, I thought it was going to be a hot day because chilly is hot. See, that's just, he's just confused by the fact that there are two words named chilly. Andrea writes in, when I was a kid, I thought there was an entire civilization of tiny people who lived and worked in streetlights and controlled them for us.
So they would turn them on at
Dusty
Apparently
meat?
So. Huh. Here's one similar to the guy at gunpoint. Michelle writes in, I used to think that Epicenter was an actual city. I could never understand why anyone would go there or live there when there were reports of earthquakes. Well, that makes a lot of sense. The last place you want to be is at the epicenter, right?
Let's go to Ed in Wildomar. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Great. So when I was a kid, I lived overseas, so I thought that the United States of America is up in the clouds. Because, you know, the airplane goes up there.
The United States of America was up in a cloud because the airplane went up there. So you thought everybody on an airplane was going to the United States of America?
Say the airplane is headed to the U.S., and I thought that the U.S. is up in the clouds because the airplane is traveling.
I see. So you were not a bright kid.
I got to be honest, that's dumb.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you for calling.
All right. I don't know why this was a scientific study, but apparently it was. And the conclusion is that eating lots of garlic can make a man's body odor significantly more attractive to women. Kevin, you still subscribe to the research journal Appetite?
Yeah, well, you know, I get that.
You get that at home, do you?
Month, year, whenever it comes out.
They did a study.
Why
Prague.
Did they do this study?
I don't know.
I don't understand it.
Like, here's what I don't understand. Once he talks about the study, I'll say what person is involved sniffing.
Well,
go ahead, Bean. What's the study?
Everything about this is bad.
A half a group of men ate a cheese sandwich slathered with 12 grams of garlic. The other half ate a plain cheese sandwich. It's my favorite part of the article. They were instructed to limit other effects on their body odor, such as refraining from using deodorant or smoking. All the men wore cotton pads in their armpits to collect sweat and body odor for 12 hours.
We have somebody on hold, Bean. We should talk to the professor that is behind
Oh, really?
This. Yeah, because I have so many questions.
But then women had to sniff those pads.
Women had to sniff. The pads were then presented to women who smelled them and scored the pads on appeal. So Professor Pasquale D'Angelo joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Professor. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, how you do? How you doing, Kevin and Bean Show, America? Hey, America, I love you so much.
Well, we're fine. So you were part of this garlic study at Charles University in Prague?
Yeah, this is my idea. I say, hey, let me tell you something. All the ladies, they love the garlic smell out of a man's armpits. And the other professors say, what are you talking about? What's the matter with you? Got you no respect? And I say, shut up, you face.
I think you're just quoting lyrics.
Hey, shut up, you face.
Okay.
Why did you think, hey, maybe women are attracted to the scent of garlic? Like, where did that idea even come
from?
Let me
tell you one something, okay?
Please. Okay, yes, please.
I am born and raised in Italy, okay?
Yes.
We love some garlic in Italy.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm having some now. For breakfast, I'm having so much garlic, it'll make your balls sweat.
Well, I don't... Okay. Well, we don't need that, but look, garlic is delicious. We're not questioning
it's... Oh, it's so delicious. I put it on everything. I put it in my cornflakes. I put it in my coffee. Mm. I rub it all over myself.
Okay, that's
strange. The ladies so much love me. And so I say, let's do a scientific study where the man eats so much garlic, you can see the fumes coming off of him like an asphalt road in the summertime.
Now, were we accurate when we said that the men eat the sandwich and then the women sniff the armpits?
They do. We get a pad, okay? We put a pad under the arm, all right?
Right, okay.
And then you sweat. You sweat for like 12 hours.
Okay.
And then we take the pad and we say, hey, lady, come and smell my pad. And the ladies, they smell the pad of the regular cheese sandwich, and they're like, this is okay, but it's not doing much for me. And then I give them the pad with a garlic smell, and they go, oh, mamma mia, one of the guys smell like this, I want a guy like that.
All right, so what are we supposed to do with this information? Should we start eating as much garlic as you eat, Professor?
Well, it all depends. Do you want some ladies?
Well, I mean, it'd be nice if the ladies found this attractive.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Right? Are you with me? You want a lady say, oh, give me some of that pepperoni stick, right?
That's a euphemism?
Maybe not. I don't know. The lawyer's up at this early? I don't know.
I think, though, can you overdo it? Can you have too much garlic
smell?
No
such a thing as overdo a garlic.
No?
Okay? You can overdo a lot of things.
Okay.
You can overdo work too much. Too much stress.
Right.
You can overdo smoke too much. It kill you.
Right. Yeah. Certainly, yes.
But garlic is nothing but a special plant that can make you so healthy. Your heart will make you healthy. Your blood will make you healthy. Mm-hmm. And now your wang will make you healthy.
Oh.
The ladies love the wang.
And that is your scientific conclusion, Professor?
I say, like most scientists, let it love a garlic wang.
Did not expect to hear that sentence in the air today.
Well, now I drop some science on you.
Well, thank you very much. That's nice.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. By the way, looking ahead toward the rest of the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Whitney Cummings is coming back in. Gerard Carmichael is going to be with us. We also have Sarah Shahi coming by. I think we're doing Shots with Shahi this Friday, you guys.
That's correct, yes.
I think that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse himself, talking UFC 191 coming up in a few days.
Doing shots with him, too.
And a lot more. So good stuff. And this hour tomorrow, of course, the Bachelor in Paradise report with Petrus and Ralph. So that's all coming up.
All right. Allie went to a funeral over the weekend. Good mm-hmm. times.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Wow. Really?
I think funerals are fun.
Wait, what?
But that's a different topic. So you're at the funeral, and when you were talking about it last week, you were saying, hey, because of the person that died, hey, maybe I'll meet a nice man.
No, I wasn't.
That's what you were saying.
No, I wasn't.
You were saying,
at all.
Hey, I hope there's lots of Jewish doctors there.
Wow.
That's what we heard. That's what
okay.
I heard.
Okay,
anyway.
This very revisionist.
No, I thought you
happening.
Said I'm. I think did you? I think you said you're going to score.
That's what it was.
I didn't
That's
say any of that.
I
but if it'll help the bit, sure.
I'm
you
pretty
guys
sure you
horrible
said that.
People.
We
you're
are
horrible.
I'm going to meet a dude, and we're going to do nope. it on top of the casket.
Wow.
If it's a closed casket, is what I heard.
If it's closed,
you guys.
That,
are
you,
sick.
In your defense, you said if it's closed.
If it's
you're
closed.
Sick.
So we
you
started talking
sick.
About. Picking up people. Look, everybody know. We all saw Wedding Crashers, right? Everybody knows about the advantages of going to a wedding with lots of people about your age, and it's a party, and you all have something in common, and you're all drinking, and it's mm-hmm. fun, and there's dancing. I get it. But then there's the picking up people at a funeral, which we also learned from Wedding Crashers is also a thing. Now, I guess some of the same things apply in that you all have something in common, and it's a very emotional time, and you're spending all this time together. And why wouldn't you meet somebody at a funeral? It's as good. It's as good as anywhere else.
Well, I think most people don't enjoy a funeral.
Yeah, it's grieving versus celebratory. Usually, mm-hmm. sometimes a funeral can be very celebratory.
Right, right. A lot of people have those celebration of life yeah. kind of funeral type deals. How about yesterday? What was your experience like, Ellen?
It was not. It was a celebration of this wonderful man's life, but it was a very somber, respectful event.
Did you nail someone on the coffin? You said you were gonna. I'm just saying.
No, I didn't. And you're horrible.
So, all right, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Was there anybody that caught your eye among the other mourners?
No.
Really?
A little bit.
Okay. So had some of those same people been at a party, might the conversation have happened that might have led to a date?
Sure. And I can see, obviously, you have something in common. You're all there for one person.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you can share stories with the person, see if there's, you know, a little bit of a spark, that type of thing. But
right.
also keep it respectful. Don't be like, hey, you want to go out for a smoke?
Well, I think we want both.
Oh,
I think
wow,
we're looking
really?
For both. Yeah.
You really think people score A at a funeral?
No.
Or that same day, you think?
Yes, I think at that
really?
Same day they do. I do. I do. Among our listeners are horn dogs,
no.
Allie. Are you
That's
kidding me?
Great point.
Our listeners can barely put on pants to go to work in the morning. Yes, we are looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you met someone at a funeral, how about this? We'll say either way. If you met someone at a funeral that you ended up dating, we want to hear from you.
Okay.
If you met someone at a funeral that you ended up banging, we want to hear from you. Either one, right?
Yes. And especially if it's the same day. Bean will give you $100.
Extra. Well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I said that. But 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever picked up anyone at a funeral, we want to hear from you. You can also text us at 2KROCK, or you can get in contact with us at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account at Kevin and Bean. Speaking of Wedding Crashers, isn't that what Will Ferrell ended up doing?
Yes.
Is moving from weddings to funerals, right?
Yep.
Just living the dream. Where'd you get that girl?
She's hot.
I got her yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah. I rode my bike over to a cemetery nearby. Her boyfriend just died.
You met her at a funeral?
Yeah. Dude died in a hang gliding accident.
What an idiot. Oh, I'm hang gliding, honey. Take a good picture. I'm dead.
Men are at a funeral.
Funerals are insane. The chicks are so horny, it's not even fair. It's like fishing with dynamite.
See? That's what we're saying. Every line is ringing, by the way. We'll see how it goes. 1-800-520-1067. You picked up someone at a funeral. That's the topic. I love it. We'll talk, take your calls next on K-Rock.
Gotta be honest, I didn't think we'd get a lot of calls.
Our listeners are the best.
I did not think we'd get a lot of calls.
Talking about hooking up at a funeral, yeah, that's the topic. You heard me at 1-800-520-1067. Allie was very disappointed she did not find someone to mount at the funeral she was at yesterday.
Not it at all.
But maybe you had better luck. We're taking your calls, and I want to start with Josh. He's in Roland Heights. Christy, you hang on. We're going to get up to you next on line two, but let's go to line one first. Roland Heights, Josh, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. You met someone at a funeral.
Yes. Hey, Kevin and Bean and Allie.
Good morning.
I met my current girlfriend at her mother's funeral.
Huh. Now, how were you invited? What was your relationship to the deceased?
He wasn't. He just rode his bike over.
My relationship with the deceased, sort of, was I was friends with the brother all my life.
Okay, but you didn't know the sister.
I didn't know the sister. Heck, I didn't even know the sister existed until the funeral.
Wow. So I am at, this is the part that Kevin's having trouble getting past. Isn't she at the lowest point of her life standing there watching her mother be lowered into the ground? How is she at all receptive to meeting somebody to date?
Well, she wasn't, first of all, but because that's what makes this interesting, because our official date is actually at her brother's wedding.
What? So you did or did not hook up with her at her mom?
We hooked up with her at the funeral. But officially, it's at the brother's wedding.
Like, they didn't literally hook up.
Okay.
You got her number. You decided to go on a date. That date was the brother's wedding?
Yeah, unfortunate. Yes, exactly. Well, yes.
Josh, what's going on? Did you bone at the funeral or not?
You are the shakiest human being ever. Look,
no,
you got to...
We did meet at the wedding.
You met at the wedding.
Great, and then it's official at the brother's wedding.
So you met at the funeral, you mean?
That's right.
You're very confusing.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
I hope
she's
listening and she breaks up with you because of how bad you are on the phone. But thank you, Josh. We appreciate listening. All right. Now let's go to Kelly. She's in Long Beach.
All right.
Online too. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Kevin Beecher. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding up.
We should call her Christy.
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Christy. Either one.
Yeah.
Hey, Christy. All right. Now I'm bad.
Yeah.
What's going on, Christy?
I hooked up with my husband at my dad's funeral.
All right, now, hooked up.
Whoa.
Define hooked up, because to me that means you had sex with
him. Define dad.
I won't define anything. But let's just say we've been married for 20 years.
At your father's funeral?
Yes. Well, I'd known him pretty much my whole life. I lived next door to his mom. He was friends with my dad. I was. We're all 10 years apart, so we all hung out. And we, consoled each other.
Did it help that you were vulnerable, maybe in a position that you wouldn't usually
be
in?
Let's not talk about positions.
Well, he had asked me out previous, but I'd always said no.
Uh-huh.
So I think this was, a way in.
Ding.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go to Claire, please. Woodland Hills, Line 7. Hey, I got a name right. Hi, Claire. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. So you hooked up with somebody at a funeral?
I did. I didn't meet this person at the funeral. I had known him for a little while. He was a good friend of mine. And he had a crush on me, wanted to hook up with me for years. But I was never really into it.
Until that funeral, that sexy funeral came along.
Because you know how hot that makes ladies.
Because there was like this gathering after the funeral. What do they call that? Not a reception.
A wake.
A wake, yeah, the wake. And this wake had an open bar. There was a lot of liquor being served. And, death will drive you to drink. And
sure.
One of our stars that died, he was really young. He was like 23, 24. So there was kind of this attitude of like, well, hey, we could all die tomorrow. So I'm going, well, if I could die tomorrow, and if my friend here could die tomorrow, I really should just bang the guy.
Boom.
So
you are the best human being that has ever lived. I thought that was only the way men think.
No, Claire was thinking it.
I Claire was that. Thinking it. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Out there who think this way, and I'm proud to be one of them.
All right.
Thank
well
you, Claire.
Done, Claire.
By the way, I'm glad Claire brought that point up, because that is one thing about a funeral that we hadn't mentioned yet, which is you do have that, hey, it's inevitable that mm-hmm. we're going to die one day. I really want to make the most out of my life. I mean, that does kind of make sense. I bet that even subconsciously plays into some people.
I think, too, the type of funeral obviously lends itself to this kind of action. Like a Catholic funeral, we get down. We do some crazy stuff. A lot of drinking, a lot of celebrating at certain funerals. Some a bit more somber.
Right.
Okay.
I want to close with Kevin. Let's go to him in Tustin Line 5. Real quick, though, a couple of texts at 2KROQ. That's 25767. You can always get in touch with the show. From the 479, do cousins count? Well, from the 626, I met this girl at my aunt's funeral, and it went so well, I took her to a motel after the service. That's what you were talking about,
wow.
Kevin, which is same-day hookup.
That's pretty strong right there.
That is pretty strong. All right, let's see what Kevin's got. He has some unusual circumstances with his story in Tustin. Welcome to the show, sir.
Morning, people.
Hi. Hi.
After,
what happened?
A girlfriend of 3 years. She died. We buried her at the wake. Of course, there was alcohol. I met another lady, and that relationship lasted 3 years.
Wait, you buried your girlfriend and met a woman that same day?
Yes.
Was she friends with your girlfriend who had died?
No. No. No.
He's they not an animal.
Don't be ridiculous.
They knew each other from high school, but they weren't friends.
Okay. All right. Well, look, yeah, I mean, look, life's for the living, right? I mean, you were single.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Good for you, Kevin.
God rest ye merry gentlemen.
What?
Sort of a Christmassy type song.
It's none of those things, Roddy. I don't know what the hell you're... Even talking about.
It was Christmas.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us coming up. This is we're getting near the end of the year here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so we're doing what we do, which is kind of look back on the 12 months just passed. We did the top 10 beer mug moments the mm-hmm. other day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did the top 10 Omar intros. We did the top 10 moments with, also known as the Kevin Show.
Oh, come on.
I think tomorrow we're doing top 10 bean tweets of the year.
Oh, dear Lord.
Really? And right now, this is one of my favorites. And it's funny that as we get close to the end of the year, I start getting emails from listeners with suggestions on what they would like to see on this list. Mm. It's something that we call drops or sound bites, those little audio clips that we play throughout the show that some listeners have developed I think an unhealthy obsession with in some cases.
They have an unhealthy obsession.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Really. The man who speaks almost only through them now.
Top 10 drops of the year. Hit it, Steve.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No one knows. Audio clips, also known as drops. Which one will have a shot? This is top drops. Top drops. This is top drops. This is top drops. Which one will be on top? Drops of 2015.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you, everybody.
Top drop. I want to give a special shout out to Kevin and Bean listener Katie, who I think, if I read her email correctly, is in some sort of like fantasy league where they bet or try to guess on where their favorite drops are going to end up in the year.
No one's doing that.
It sounds very complicated.
Zero people are doing that.
No wagering going on.
It's just not the thing.
She had an outstanding list, and it was very helpful when I was putting it together. All right, number 10 on the top drops of 2015. We go back to January as the Oscars were being announced. You may remember that there was a little mishap that day where somebody mispronounced the name, and it led to a lot of fun at the time, and a name that we've been able to keep alive. Maybe the most famous guy that you never heard of, nominated for an Oscar as a result of him being called
Dick Poop.
Dick Poop, ladies and gentlemen, is number 10 on our list of the top 10 drops of the year. Number 9 is one that we had in the archives for a long time but didn't discover it until 2015. And now I don't know how we lived without this, especially when Ralph comes in with late-breaking news during the showbiz beat.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Another one, another guy we just fell in love with. All right, number 8 on the list is, it was hard to pick with all the greatness that Rodney has given us this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we've really had a lot of fun with Rodney.
But of all the things he said that we fell in love with, I think this is the one that we found the most useful and the one that we played the most.
Kevin, I've had it.
Yeah, that did come in handy. That's for sure.
And I think we all know exactly where Rodney's coming from on that one. Got a little help with the phone number this year with this particular soundbite. This is at number 7 this year.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I sense that one burned pretty fast for you, Ralph.
Oh, yeah. I was good with that.
I think he was out after the first time.
But thank you, Doto, for helping out on the show this year. All right. Number 6 was a tough one for me because Ralph came up with a game called Kevin Mad Libs the News. And it created some real magic out of Kevin. I think that's where Pink Fruit Mountain came from.
Yeah, it did.
7 Sundays in May.
Yep.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie.
Sure.
And I think my favorite of all of Kevin's answers is something that we turned into a soundbite that we probably will use a lot in the months to come. And here it is.
Taint Wars.
I mean, really, the fact that Taint Wars is a thing, thanks to Kevin.
It's not really a thing, though.
It's pretty impressive.
It has become a thing.
It definitely has become a thing. This is Top Drops. All right, we're into number 5. Allie, there were several from you that were in very serious consideration for Top 10 Soundbites of the Year. And I think the one that we chose, I think, represents the way your mind works when this is the question that even comes to you.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think? Still no idea where that came from.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't have any idea either.
Odd.
Yeah.
Number 4 in our Top 10 Soundbites of the Year comes straight out of the news. I don't know how Donald Trump could not make an appearance, of course he did. He said a thing that we just can't get away from, and it is...
Sit down.
I mean, really?
How is that not number
how
one?
Is that
That's
not number
my
one?
Favorite one.
Sit down is pretty strong, right?
By far, it's my favorite.
How many times do you find yourself saying that to somebody on the show?
I say it to you almost hourly.
All right, now we're getting into the top 3, and this was, again, very tough. And this,
sit down!
At number 3, this goes back to a little thing that was called the Great Periscope Disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
And I don't know if you remember, but I was attempting to share with the listeners my secret recipe for chocolate milk with chocolate milk ice cubes.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's the secret recipe?
That's not important now. The important thing is that on Periscope...
freeze chocolate milk.
That's it. No, on Periscope, I was trying to open up the tray, remember, to get the chocolate milk out, and the tray just fell apart in my hands, just shattered.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was a terrible thing, and I just reacted...
By a terrible thing,
with
you
a
mean...
a minor thing that just didn't matter, really.
I just reacted naturally, as any person would, and said the thing in my mind, and it was this at number 3.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Which I don't think was overstating it.
Nope.
Define colossal disaster.
I thought
you know,
that was...
the Challenger. The shuttle exploding after taking flight. That was a colossal disaster.
My ice cube tray fell apart,
this
Ralph.
This was frozen chocolate milk wouldn't come out of your ice cube tray.
This is Top Drops.
Our top 10 favorite sound bites of the year on the Kevin Amin Show for 2050. Oh, look, it's Allie again. What, are you kidding me? With 2 in the top 5?
This is why you failed.
Yes.
Well, that was Mini Yoda.
Yes, in handy.
Sure.
Was that the first impression you dropped on us?
I believe it was.
And the best. It's still the best.
Real bad.
Yeah. All right, you guys, have you given any thought or do you not care at all what number 1 might be? We've heard some pretty good ones from the last calendar year. Anything jump into mind that we might have missed that you think would be appropriate?
Are there any more, Rodney? Is he
nope.
off the
in
table?
My fantasy league, I really had all my money on Sit Down. But I'm surprised. I don't know what to gather that the number 1 is.
Sit Down had a great year. I mean, it did come
I'm out of Last Man Standing because of that.
It did come in at number 4. Here it is. The number 1.
This is Top Drops.
The number 1 soundbite of 2015. You tell me if you disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's been around for so long, I forgot it was this year.
It was that this happened. Year. Ralph, do you remember how it happened?
I don't. I forget the context.
It was a showbiz story where some girl was doing something to some other girl that was catty. Said, like, totally threw some shade at that person. Said something, like, really kind of bitchy.
Oh, I see.
Pete, it was the Charlotte McKinney interview.
or not. All right, so
Which was it?
Well, my memory is that it was in a Showbiz Story. How did it come up with Charlotte McKinney? She was this, what, the Sports Illustrated?
No, she was the Carl Jr. Yeah, what happened was she was talking about how people were mean to her when she was a kid, and then that was the sound you made.
That's right.
And I think the attempt was that it was supposed to be, it was the catty noise is what it was. It was me trying to be catty.
So you're trying to do, meow.
That's it.
That's what you were trying to do?
Yes.
The sound you make when someone's being catty.
And that was it?
Yes. That's what came up.
Can we hear that again, please?
What came up. I guess I had a failure. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So this is. So you do the real noise.
So he was trying to replicate.
And instead it came out.
It's like a cat with a cleft palate.
This is Top Drops. The Top Drops of 2015.
I like that Death Cab for Cutie, by the way, like every song they ever do. That one's called The Ghost of Beverly Drive here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. So, Allie.
Yeah, Bean.
You're girl adjacent. What's your thought on leggings as a fashion accessory?
Super comfy.
Yeah, you wear them a lot?
Yeah, you can dress them up, dress them down, put on a pair of boots.
Do you wear them instead of pants?
They are pants.
Okay.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Big controversy right now about people who are wearing leggings as pants, and it all comes from a woman in Tennessee who put up a Facebook post a couple of weeks ago. It has now been seen more than 13 million times. 13 million times. She says no to wearing leggings as pants, and she makes some very convincing arguments. I present for you Jamie Randolph.
Good morning. I know I've already done a video in the past couple days, but ladies, it's pretty much legging weather. I love legging weather. I don't care if you don't like leggings. Don't judge me. They are comfortable. They don't cut into you. They're always the right length. I feel like pajamas. I love them. You can dress them up. You can dress them down. You can look like a frat girl, or you can look pretty classy in them, depending on what you choose to pair with them.
So far, you and Jamie are on the same page, it sounds like. Right, Allie?
Right.
I love leggings, too.
It's leggings weather.
Leggings.
It's leggings weather.
Yep.
This morning while trying on my leggings, I couldn't find my normal leggings. So I had to borrow Mackenzie's for a hot minute. And I'm like, whoops, them ain't going to work. So I'm heading to the store right now to get me some other leggings.
By the way, is this a good use of the technology that was involved in creating the internet?
I don't believe so.
All right. So she's
this
going
is
to
my
buy...
favorite video of all time right now.
she's going to buy some new leggings, okay?
Leggings, sorry.
And now she's got some pretty serious thoughts on the topic.
This is why I'm making this video.
Okay.
Some of you people like to use leggings as breeches, as pants. That ain't how they're supposed to be worn. If you can't wear a shirt that covers your tail so I can't tell that you got some Aztec print thongs on, you don't need to be wearing them.
Okay. How about now that she's laying down some ground rules here, Allie, do you cover your ass with a shirt or a dress if you're wearing leggings, or are you just out there with just your leggings?
Excuse me, leggings.
Leggings, sorry.
First of all, I think there's a discrepancy here. She's talking about seeing your underwear through them. Those are very thin leggings, almost like tight leggings, almost like tight.
Right. So there are more thick ones. That
absolutely.
There's different kinds of leggings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leggings.
So if it's a matter of seeing the underwear through the leggings, get thicker leggings. Would that change things for her?
Well, let's find out. I think she goes on.
That's rule number one.
Oh.
If they're too tight, then I can see you got a tattoo on your leg. They're too tight. They ain't to be wore, period. That's called pantyhose, honey. Pantyhose.
Okay, so this is what you're talking about with the thinner leggings.
Yeah.
They're pantyhose. Those are clearly just undergarments. It should never be worn as pants.
Yeah, there are some that are tights that you wear, you know, under a dress, under a skirt, even under like a longer top. But they're not leggings.
Who's got this strong of feelings on leggings?
Jamie.
Well, Jamie Randolph does.
Lord Jesus.
Oh.
White leggings. Them's a big old no-no.
Oh.
You can see all kinds of stuff through them. See, leggings, most of the time, it don't matter how big you are, as long as you keep your tail end covered. You can be a big old girl. I'm a big girl. I'm a thick girl. I got thick legs. I got thick calves. I got a big old butt. And I got a big old gut.
Very sexy. Very, very sexy. Rarely do you hear a woman stand up and take ownership of her big old butt and her big old gut. White leggings. Allie, your thoughts?
Leggings.
That's a great point. Again, I don't know if you if they can be cute, especially during. I'm going to sound real dumb, but like 4th of July, a pair of white leggings with a red top. Super cute.
White leggings. So you're down. This is where you guys take separate paths here, right? Yeah. You digress from Jamie with the white leggings.
You're going away from Jamie Randolph,
the legging expert. I will say, though, she does have a point. You can see a lot through white leggings, no matter how thick they are. You got a little cottage cheese on your back of your thigh. White leggings, you can spot it.
Okay, so you're with her or you're not with her?
I'm feeling her more with the white leggings.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
But know your own body, ladies, is what it sounds like you're saying.
Sure.
All right. I think she has more on the white leggings and why that's a big no-no.
Okay.
So, you got to conceal it. You wear your longer shirt, like a tunic. Sometimes you can wear them with a little dress. That's fine. Wear them with boots. You can wear them with flaps. You can wear them with all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But make sure your tail is covered. Nobody wants to see what kind of panties you got on. Nobody wants to see anything going up in any body part that you have, I assure you. I mean, that stuff's left for the bedroom. It don't need to be running around town. It's awful. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. All right, there we go. It has been laid down. Ladies, now you know. If you're getting ready to go out this morning, now you know the do's and don'ts of leggings.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:36.
Let's give away some more of those tickets for you two at the Roxy. You guys want to? 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 if you want
over.
To go. Biggest band in the world.
That show's over.
Smallest club.
It was last night.
You're going to have a great.
That was not. It's last night.
It was. Oh, that's right. Hey, we did talk to the guys. We played the interview earlier today. We'll put it up at KROQ.com if you missed. If you want a chance to hear you two. They were delightful. So much fun catching up with them after the Roxy show. Good times.
Frankie the weatherman.
Frankie McDonald, Nova Scotia's most beloved weatherman.
He's the guy who started doing the weather forecast. Was it on YouTube? Is that where
he
started?
Yeah. His YouTube channel, Kevin, has over 10 million views. He is popular all over the world with his weather. And what he does is he monitors weather on his home computer, and then he issues warnings to people. You know, for instance, if there's going to be if there's a chance of a tornado in Oklahoma, he'll come on and he'll make a video just for Oklahoma, and he'll warn everybody. Well, let me give you a little bit of an example of what Frankie sounds like if you haven't heard him.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Massive storm is headed towards Nova Scotia on Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. It's going to bring up to 20 plus centimeters of snow. Then it's going to change over to rain. During snowstorms, going to cause flooding and drifts and snow. It's going to be white old conditions, zero visibility. Roads will be real bad. It's going to be snow-covered roads, streets, highways, and Trans-Canada Highway because it's going to be a lot of snow.
Okay.
A lot of snow.
So, Frankie, I don't think he's trying to whip people into a needless frenzy. I think he's just really excited about the weather, and he urges everybody to make sure to have their batteries and have their radios and have their water and pizza. He just wants you to be prepared. Now, last week we talked about him on the show because he issued a very unusual warning for Southern California. We were very confused about this. We got Frankie on the line. We're going to find out what he was talking about here.
This is Frankie McDowell, my own TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Attention, citizens of California. Severe taco warning has been issued for California. It's going to be a lot of tacos will be falling from the sky. In the state of California, it's going to bring a ton of tacos will be falling from the sky. Uh-huh. In the state of California and the surrounding areas, people in California, you need to be prepared for a lot of tacos.
A lot of tacos. All right. Frankie McDonald joins us on the line from Nova Scotia right now. Hey, Frankie.
This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Frankie, great to have you back on the show. Please explain, why is it raining tacos in California?
That was a joke I made about the weather.
Oh, okay, so you're not confused or concerned that there's actually food falling from the sky.
No, that was me doing a very funny joke about the weather, about tacos coming out of the sky.
Okay.
Now, did you make up the joke or did somebody else give it to you?
That was my joke. It was a joke I made about tacos coming out of the sky as if tacos are weather.
All right. Well, good. Well, maybe we'll ask you about the weather before we go. But there's another story with Frankie McDonald in the news this week about a guy who is such a fan of yours, Frankie, and I'm sure you saw this, that he got a tattoo of your face on his leg.
Yes, on May 22nd, 2015, a gentleman got his face of Frankie McDonald on my own TV station live from Nova Scotia right on his own leg.
His name is Ernest Acosta. He was in Odessa, Texas, and he went in and he had a photograph of you and they put it on his face. I mean, that is that's an ultimate tribute to have somebody put you on their body for life.
It's very flattering for Frankie McDonald, my own TV station live with Sydney, Nova Scotia, to be appearing on somebody's leg, putting ink into his skin.
Frankie, did you think it looked like you?
I did think it looked like Frankie McDonald's his own TV station live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. The tattoo was very much resembled Frankie McDonald from my own TV station live from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Now, do you think it was a good idea for somebody to do this, or did he take his fandom too far?
It was an excellent idea for that gentleman to put a tattoo of Frankie McDonald on my own TV station live from Sydney, Nova Scotia, and write live on his own live leg.
Now, is that the only one that you've heard of, or are other people doing it?
To the best of my knowledge, it's the only tattoo for Frankie McDonald from his own TV station live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Everyone has ever tattooed on his body.
Frankie, what is it, if you don't mind me asking, what is it that you find so fascinating about the weather? Why do you spend so much time telling people what their weather is going to be, sometimes thousands of miles away from where you live?
The weather affects everyone, rich or poor, if you're single or married. Everyone has to have the weather and to deal with the weather. It's the most important information you can have. That's why Frankie McDonald, myself, from my own TV station, live from Studio Scotia, like to give weather to everyone.
All right, since we have you and we're heading into the weekend, is there anything we need to look out for in Southern California?
This is Frankie McDonald, live from my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California Friday, May 29, 2015. Los Angeles, California will be having a major warming trend, which means temperatures will be reaching 80 degrees Fahrenheit with partially cloudy and partially sunny conditions. Then on Saturday, May 30, 2015, Los Angeles, California will continue to have a major warming trend, which means temperatures will be reaching 82 degrees Fahrenheit with partially cloudy conditions in the morning with increasing sunshine in the afternoon. Temperature will be 82 degrees Fahrenheit. A major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California. On Friday, May 29th and May 30th of 2015, it will bring lots of sunshine and warm temperatures. There will be a lot of sun with no precipitation. The moist air is coming mostly from the Gulf of Mexico. That will cause a major warming trend in Southern California from the people in Southern California.
Calm down.
So be prepared to get your flip-flops, your cargo shorts, sun visors, t-shirts, tank tops, swimsuits ready. Order your pizzas and your Chinese food, other good summertime food, maybe have a barbecue, buy cases of Pepsi and Coke, do your sunscreen shopping, don't wait till the last minute, do it right now. Have your iPads, your iPods, your cell phones, laptops, and tablets charged, have your 3G and 4G internet connections running just in case the power goes out due to air conditioners running day and night, have your flashlights, generators, crank up, radio, extra batteries, and battery operated lanterns ready. When you're driving your car, turn on your air conditioning, or perhaps you could roll your windows down to get some fresh air, or if you have a convertible car, put the roof down on the convertible car to allow the sunshine and warm warming temperatures to enter inside your car in Southern California. The major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California on Friday, May 29, 2015. It will bring sunshine and warm temperatures, especially in Los Angeles County and the city surrounding it.
Right.
Agoura Hills, California. Alhambra, California. California. Artesia, California.
Southern
California. Azusa, California. Baldwin Park, California. Bell, California. Bell Gardens, California. Bellflower, California. Beverly Hills, California. Bradbury, California. Burbank, California.
We understand the whole area.
He's up to the seas. Cerritos, California. Claremont, California.
Everybody in Southern California. Warm weather.
Compton, California. Covina, California.
Okay.
Coudahay. What the hell kind of name city is that?
I don't know, to be honest.
Coudahay. C-U-D-A-H-Y.
Apparently it's a place, Frankie.
Huh.
Kevin, I'm going to let you talk about the mystery K-Rock employee, because you did a good job with that earlier today. So I'm going to let you bring us up to speed with this person whose identity is going to remain a secret, because we're talking about a very delicate topic.
This person has decided that it is perfectly safe to take drugs through the TSA to get on a plane, as long as it's a small enough amount. And I believe the words were, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the words were anything less than a kilo, which is like 2.5 pounds, right?
Let me ask you about that. The TSA is looking for security issues when you go on a plane. They're looking for liquids. They're looking for knives, guns, weapons, things
point.
Like that.
Right.
Do they care about drugs? I mean, they're not looking for drugs, right?
I don't think they're looking for drugs, but I don't. But
he said the police wouldn't arrest you.
Right. He said that if it was a small enough amount, that they would just throw it in the trash and you could go on your way.
Yeah, because they don't have the resources or the time for such a low-level offense.
And why was he or she...
If the police even showed up, if they called the police would just let you go.
They that might, doesn't seem right.
Because they don't care.
Well, let's ask him or her.
Him or her, okay.
Right. Whose voice we have changed. Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Yes. Have we summarized your position?
First off, let me correct something. Okay. I might have been a little inaccurate about my measurements of what and how much you could take.
Okay.
Definitely way less than a kilo. It's probably going to be just under an eighth.
Just under an eighth.
That's
which is a
lot
handful.
Different.
That's
yes.
a big difference.
That's a lot
okay.
of difference.
Yes.
But if you take just under an eighth, they'll throw it in the trash and you can walk on.
Look, they don't
did
have...
Did you say that?
I did, yes. They don't have the resources, the time, or the money to prosecute
to call
somebody.
The police?
Well, they could call the police, but the police have much bigger things to deal with than with somebody carrying less than an eighth of marijuana.
Okay. Okay. And
but
how
you said cocaine as well.
It's neither here nor there.
You
but
said
yes.
it's here and there.
You said cocaine
you
as
said
well.
It, yes, you said cocaine. Any drugs, you said.
Yeah, less than trafficking amounts. I'm not Pablo Escobar. I'm just taking a little something-something with me on my trip.
So let me make sure I understand here, Mr. Employee. And by the way, I know you want to remain anonymous, but are you a drummer?
I do like beats, yes.
You do like beats, okay. All right, so you're saying that if you're going through the TSA line at LAX and they're going through your stuff and they pull out a baggie full of heroin or something, you're saying even if they called the cops there at the airport, the cops came up, they would look at that and go, just throw that away and let the young man go through and get on his flight.
Look, the worst that could happen, I think, would be that they would detain me, I would miss my flight, but no further prosecution would be had against me.
What are you basing that on?
What are you basing that on?
I know somebody within the TSA that gave me that information.
Oh, well, but that person hates you.
You know the TSA aren't the people who prosecute or arrest people for drug offenses, right?
That is correct, but they deal with local authorities on a daily basis.
Okay, and so that person's impression, the person that you talked to from the TSA, their impression is that the police will not follow up on that at all, that maybe they'll detain you, but they'll let you go about your way.
The police in public environments won't arrest you if you have less than an eighth of drugs on you anyway, so why would they do it at the airport?
Well, I mean, again, it is a very different conversation for you to come in today and say less than an eighth when yesterday you were talking about up to a kilo. I mean, that really...
He did, in his defense, he said less than a kilo.
Like I said, I have the measurements way wrong. I do not take less than a kilo with me. That would be a whole suitcase, and then I would be considered a trafficker.
Okay, mystery employee, is this something you researched because... This is how you roll? I mean, when you fly, you do travel with drugs and get away with it every time?
What? You what?
Test. Okay, thank you.
What's wrong?
I thought the voice changer changed on me real
quick.
Oh,
no.
It's kind of scary. Yes, I have taken many...
It was less than a kilo of voice changing, though, so it should be okay.
Just under an eighth of voice changing is all I heard.
I have taken many chances, and it is a gamble, but my percent...
Why? It's not a gamble, apparently, because no one cares about drugs.
Well...
What?
Okay, I'm done. This is somebody's changed the voice now.
What are you talking about?
You have the voice changers working fine. All right, nope. Let me say this. By the way, if we have people that know, people that work TSA or work the airport or know, call 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to give a rebuttal to the mystery employee. Beer Mug's out there answering the phones, right, you guys?
Yes. Or back him. If he's right and we're wrong, let us know.
If you're a law enforcement official, an officer of the law, and you say that you just let people go about their business with drugs, then let us know.
Because that sounds
that's good information to have.
That's
I
good
think.
Information to have. Sounds shaky, though. Yeah. Did it sound?
Hey, when you travel with your drugs, mystery employee, do you hide the drugs at all? Do you try to stash them somewhere, or you just walk through, you know, easily with them in your pockets?
Of course I stash.
Hey, everybody, less than a kilo, less than a kilo.
Why would you stash it, though? Because there's no danger.
Well, I'm not going to
be blatant about it.
Why not? If there's no danger of any repercussions, why would you even try to hide it?
Because I don't want to miss my flight.
And you think they would stop you and hold you up while they determined that there was no further action necessary?
That could be a
possibility. Just add some time.
That could be a possibility, yes.
Now, did you or did you not yesterday say that this is a guarantee?
Multiple
did you use the word?
Did you say 100% guaranteed?
My success rate has been very, very good.
So all the times they've found drugs on you, no one has arrested you or prosecuted you?
They've never found drugs on me.
Okay, so
so your success rate is zero because you've never tested this theory.
The theory is if they find the drug, that's the theory. If they find the drugs, as long as it's less than, I guess, an eighth you're saying now.
Yes.
They'll let you just go on. Maybe they'll detain you, but...
They're not going to prosecute and arrest you. No way. No way.
All right. You're willing to roll the dice on that.
Mm. And stop. Don't change the voice changer if I'm going to keep doing this.
What are you talking about?
We're not touching it.
I know the technology in there. I know how it works.
What just happened?
How would some random mystery employee know how the board works in here? How would that be possible? There's only two people I've ever worked the board here. Chip and... Oh, no, wait a minute.
Let's talk to Brendan on line one, please. He's in Yorba Linda. He is with the TSA, so he can bring this into sharp focus for us.
All right. Hi, Brendan.
How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
What do you have to say? You've heard the mystery employee.
Absolutely. So we're not going to waste our time. When it's like less than an eighth, we got bigger things to do. Technically, we're supposed to be looking for the things that could bring down a plane to
right.
hurt people.
Right.
We're not going to waste our time. We're going to see it. We're going to toss it away. Maybe if that person acts indifferent towards us or gives us lip, then we might take our time out of our precious time and go mess around with them.
Wait. Yeah. So
your precious time telling people to take their belts off?
I'm saying is if we found it, we're going to throw it away, we're going to take them out of the line, we're going to remove them from the whole thing, and then re-enter them back into the population of the airport.
So you're sort of backing our secret employee's statement 100%. Here, as long as it's a 100%. Small enough amount.
As long as it's not getting crazy. We're not talking like a half ounce or an ounce. It has to be, something that's only for you or your friends, and that's it.
Exactly.
Okay, it's just not worth wasting your time on something that's not a security risk.
Absolutely, yeah, but there's other things to do.
All right,
Brendan.
And like I said, guys, I'm not trafficking large amounts. The DEA is not going to prosecute me for less than an eighth.
How about if you fly like to Hawaii to be in a movie? Is that something they would keep an eye on just because it's an entertainment related thing that they might be a red flag? Just as a random
test.
What is...
Stop with changing the voice changer.
What are you talking about?
Sons of bitches.
100% guaranteed that voice changer.
You're a little paranoid.
Yeah, maybe too much smoke.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
Or madam.
Yes.
Madam.
What? God!
Here's the best plan for Halloween night you're going to hear all week long. The Stars Channel at 9 p.m. for Ash versus Evil Dead. Bruce Gamble is here. Listen to this.
30 years ago, my friends and I spent the night at a cabin. We found the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead. Certain passages were recited. It awoke something in the woods, something evil. I was the only one to escape. But now, the evil has found me.
First thing I gotta do is see a guy about a book.
There must be some spell I can say to undo all this.
The other first thing I gotta do is some cardio, because my heart is jackhammering like a quarterback on Bromley.
He is an ageless, timeless wonder. Oh, Bruce Campbell back on the Kevin Beach.
Forget about it. Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
He was mouthing every word to that.
I saw it. That's incredible.
I've seen it once or twice before.
Bruce, are you surprised at the enduring love for this character in this franchise, the fact that the fans have practically demanded that you find some way to bring it back?
Nope.
All right.
No.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. The reason is because these savages have been tormenting me since 1988. That was my first convention. Okay. When I used to go for free. Hey, look, convention. This is exciting. Even then, we had just made Evil Dead Part 2. A couple of years before that, and they were like, when's the next one? And Sam Raimi explained, he just did Spider-Man movies. They made $1 billion. Mm-hmm. What do people want to know? When's the next Evil Dead movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with me. Burn Notice. 7 years on cable. It was the number one for a couple of years. When's the next Evil Dead movie? It's like, that's great. We don't really care about anything else you're interested in your life. Your personal life, nothing. Your professional life, here's what you must do or we will not stop tormenting you. So
this is just you guys giving in? Just to say stop.
Yeah,
stop
I can't fight City Hall anymore. I can't take it. So finally, we're gonna give them exactly what they want. Because a few years ago, we did a remake. People thought, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty
that'll good. Do.
Yeah, but it was, they were slightly disappointed. Mm. I thought it was a good movie. We wanted to give them something. Mm-hmm. Sam Raimi was making these giant Hollywood movies. You know, he wasn't around. And so I think television caught up with us. Because now you have these premium channels. You never had the ability before to do whatever you want beyond the dreaded standards and practices.
Right.
If Evil Dead was on cable, this would be, what's over there? Oh, that's horrible. I'll describe it to you. I mean, can you imagine? Or on broadcast, you couldn't say anything. You couldn't do anything. So the first two Evil Dead movies were unrated. They are like Mustangs that need to be unbridled. They need to run free. And so people go, where's another one in the theater? Well, that would be R-rated. It wouldn't be unrated.
Right.
So, and if it was on most of television, it would be also have some kind of rating. Well, Starz, thankfully, said, well, we don't have that issue. We were like, what do you mean?
They said it like Elvis?
Well, so just like that, baby. Anything you want to do, baby, just come on, step in there. Do it. Hata! So we made the deal with them because they really seemed to be the most open to whatever was going to happen.
Yeah, sex if you want it, language, blood, guts,
yeah,
special
the Evil
effects.
Dead movies have never been really sexy. Mostly just fountains of blood pouring from every orifice.
I don't know. I think your landlady in the trailer park is pretty sexy, Bruce. That's not. Don't get me started on her, but
you
she's a good-looking lady.
She was hitting on me, too, when we were shooting.
How
and
she
it's
not?
A little awkward, because I'm like, lady, I'm trying to deliver my lines and create a role. She didn't understand my process.
Yeah.
Well, they
I can see that.
The 80-year-olds love you, Bruce. You know that. it is great. And we're talking about Ash vs. Evil Dead, which, again, is on Starz Halloween night, 9 o'clock. How old were you and Sam and your other partner when you guys, Rob, when you guys originally made the Evil Dead movie?
21.
21 years old.
I was 21.
Old.
Sam was 20. And then Rob Tapper was the old man at 24. We had to help him on set every day.
And was it a big moneymaker at the time, or was it one of those that just grew in stature and eventually started really paying you back?
That one did okay. Of all the three movies, we went in a reverse direction of popularity.
Okay.
Evil Dead was second only to E.T. when it opened in Europe. It wound up being the number one video in 83. We beat The Shining.
Oh, my gosh.
We beat Stanley Kubrick.
How about that?
Eat it, Stan. I got to tell you, that was a sweet moment. I'm just saying, people, you can't gloat about beating Stanley Kubrick. Are you out of your tree? We cost $385,000. Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, you know, his masterpiece. We destroyed it. So it started there, and it did do very well.
Let's talk about that first one.
Yeah.
It seems like the most difficult thing in the world to do is to do horror with comedy.
Yeah, but that's the first one, don't forget, we were not sophisticated enough to put the tongue firmly in our cheek. Mm-hmm. That was a melodrama. We thought horror films are serious. So, but if you have a line of dialogue like, we can't bury Shelley, she's a friend of ours. It's just, how do you deliver that? I couldn't do that today. I couldn't nail that line today. I'll try.
All right.
We can't bury Shelley. She's a friend of ours. I mean, that's a modern day.
I mean, that's not bad.
I liked it.
You know,
that wasn't bad.
That's about the best that I could do, though.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
And that's really being a great actor.
Right. Now.
So this is what happened. The first one, I think, was so over the top. Uh-huh. The violence was blood was over the top. And so were the non-performances. And, you know, it was hokey.
Uh-huh.
Part two, a few years later, after our second movie bombed, so we went, I guess we got to do another Evil Dead movie.
You figured out Hollywood pretty fast.
Yeah, well, you do that when your second movie bombs and you think you may never work ever again. So we got a guy, Scott Spiegel, who co-wrote it, who was a big fan of the Three Stooges. So the tone of the movie was definitely different. We had a little more cash to do it, and we had a little more experience. So we did sort of Splatstick.
Splatstick?
Yeah.
I like it. That's a great name for it.
Carnage and mayhem with a little dose of sugar. And so that seemed to play okay, and that movie broke even before we started shooting. We were in Rob Tapper, the producer, walked on set. Hey, we're in profit. And then he turned around and walked out. We're like, nice. Well, let's go home. Right. What's for lunch?
We don't have to finish.
But we never really heard about how well it did beyond that. They sort of pre-sold it everywhere.
Okay.
Then Army of Darkness was the last of the three made by Universal, and it bombed.
Why, Bruce?
Why? Because it was made for $13 million, and it made $13 million, and... Well, I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's not the way to go to keep the franchise alive.
Right.
So it died. It sank like a stone.
And here we are, what, died. 23 years later or something like that, and you figured out a way that works financially.
Well, no. The animals have figured out a way to keep supporting it because the whole DVD thing came in. A company in Michigan called Anchor Bay, they took all these movies and got – they sort of sub-licensed them from big distributors, and they made them interesting. Because Universal went, this is a DVD, must put it out like a widget, so that accounting will understand what a widget is. So that's what they did.
Right.
And it did okay. But then Anchor Bay came in, sub-licensed it, did the interviews, the missing scenes, the storyboards, the making of, the interviews.
Gave the fans what they wanted.
They did, and then it went insane. And Universal called them up and were like, we would like our subcontract back. We're like, wait a second, let me get this straight. For being lazy SOBs, and you got nothing out of this deal, we finally give the fans what they want. Now you want it, but now you're going to wake up? So they really nailed it. They did 87 versions of Army of Darkness. Mm-hmm. Director's version, the editor's version, the production assistant's version. They did a lot of versions. And so that kind of kept it alive.
Okay.
I go to conventions every year. Me and Shatner, man, we're like the Willie Loman of conventions. Hey, Bill.
Well, that's the big two names right
there. What's going on? How you doing, man? Get out there, Bill. Do it. And these guys are amazing, by the way. Shatner's, what, 84?
Yeah.
Stan Lee's 106, I think, now.
Yeah.
And Stan Lee's very ring-a-ding-ding. Hey, baby. The guy's awesome. He's a playboy.
Yeah, he's
Maybe I might find some broads around here. Whoa. Man, that guy's on fire.
When he's not asleep
in the green room.
Well, there's that. Every year, Bruce, we have Mr. Lee on the show, and we're amazed. He is. He's in his 90s right now. We're amazed at how sharp he is and how enthusiastic he is.
He likes what he does.
He's still in love with his business.
But I learned a great lesson from these guys. If you stop getting out of bed in the morning, you're dead.
So
these guys,
stop.
I'm like, what are you doing? Well, what else am I going to do? Be a crappy golfer? You know, you got to go to the. You got to have a reason to get out of bed.
Got to work, and you got to love it. And you still seem like you love what you do too, Bruce.
I do. You got to find the right scenarios, which is why I'm going to Auckland, New Zealand, to do this show. My buddy Rob Tappert's there. Sam Raimi directed the pilot. We have the amazing Lucy Lawless as part of our cast, who I got to try and pursue her 20 years ago as Autolycus on Xena. Mm-hmm. And so I knew when we were shooting there, it's like, Rob, call your wife, please, like at dinner tonight. Can you give her a part? And so she's on board. And that's just been great working with the people that you like and that you know.
Right. Well, let me put a pause on this for 1 second. We've got to take a quick break, come back.
Yeah,
we'll talk
whatever.
Some more about Ash versus Evil Dead, Halloween night. That's this Saturday on Stars. The legend, Bruce Campbell, is here. We'll be right back on K-Rock. The lovely ladies are in costume or in bikinis. Tell me about that car wash. What's happening with that car wash?
I don't know. All I could see was Bruce Campbell dancing to that commercial. And that's,
sure. Why not? Hey, Bruce Campbell is here, executive producer and actor for Ash versus Evil Dead, premiering the first of 10 episodes this Saturday night on Stars. Ash is he a happy man, Bruce?
He's happy when no one's bugging him,
right?
He's happy when he has no responsibility,
because he hates his job.
When he's greased up a little bit.
Yeah, he does. He does enjoy his liquor a little bit.
His inhalants. He's got a little bit of that going.
Is he a reluctant hero? Like, he knows he's the only guy who has the stills to keep the Evil Dead down, but he doesn't cherish that, right?
This is more complicated than that. Ash has not been recruited back into this. He caused this again.
Right.
So he has to do this.
Stupid trying to impress a chick.
Yeah, guys, don't stop doing that. Stop doing that. It didn't work in the 70s. It's not going to work now. Let's smoke some reefer and read from a really creepy book. Don't. Just don't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't go to your library and ask for the Necronomicon. And don't see your pot dealer after. Just don't do any of that.
So he's basically forced back into business.
He is, right when he just really wants to go to sleazy bars and lie to chicks about how he lost his right hand.
Mm-hmm. That's a great pickup line, though, by the way. If you make up the right story, that's going to work.
It worked. Well, clearly, those of you who saw the opening few minutes, it did work.
Yes.
You can say pickup line all you want.
Mm-hmm.
Success.
He does some spanking with the wooden hand. I'm just going to say that.
Kevin, you walked in. I don't know if I've ever seen you so excited. When you explained the love scene and some spanking with a wooden hand, it changed your life.
When you spank with a wooden hand, I mean, that's special.
Right?
It's rosewood. It was made by Italian artisans.
How'd you like working with a chainsaw again, Bruce?
Did not like the chainsaw. Chainsaw and I have had issues over the years, just as Fake Blood and I have had issues.
I was going to ask about that because there's so much of that on
now,
the show.
Now, I want a divorce.
Is that uncomfortable? You get splattered a lot. Is that uncomfortable?
Well, it's like a bad, it's like a Laurel and Hardy gag. You get a little drop of blood on your finger, and then you touch your ear. And then later in the day, you touch your ear and grab your glass of water. Now, it's on a glass of water. Then you pick it up with your other hand. Now, your other finger has it on a glass of water, and you touch your other ear. Then you scratch your nose, you pick your nose. Then your nose sticks shut because the sticky crap inside your nose makes your nose, you know,
right.
It never ends.
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't the role for you.
It is the role
for me. Okay,
all right. Because out of torment comes great artistry.
Amen.
We all know that, but I just had to cover my trailer like your grandma does, where she covers the furniture with plastic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, come on in. And everyone's like...
Bruce, you mentioned that the fans, no matter how many years have gone by since the last appearance of Ash, they always demand more. You seem to take that in great stride. You seem to appreciate the fact that they love you as character so much. Is there something you wanted to play that you didn't get to, you think, because of this?
No, you can't ever play that wannabe game as an actor because then you have a bunch of sour grapes. Why didn't I ever play King Lear? Because you can't do it. That's what I tell myself. So it's okay. You have to – I don't play the game too much. I'd rather take the thing that's given to me, some would say a lump of crap, and mold that into whatever it is. That's the only thing that's real. Beyond that, you know, Marty Scorsese, are you listening, Marty, out there? Let's throw down. Let's do a picture together, Marty. You know, you think that's going to work?
I don't think he's listening either.
Bob De Niro, are you out there, Bob?
He listens.
Bob, I've always wanted to do a light comedy with you. Bob, are you out there?
So I can
say what I want. No, because I think Robert De Niro is going, who's the badass with that chainsaw shotgun combination?
Yeah, why don't I have that?
Why don't I get that? And he's screaming at his agent because no one looks that cool. So
that's
maybe
right.
That's happening. Maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
If that's the case, season 2 is going to be very quiet for you.
Oh, Kevin.
Well, look at the time.
Right? That was uncalled for.
Wow. Way to kick a man when he's...
I thought we were all going that direction.
No, we weren't.
No, you led the charge in a different direction.
All right, listen. Ash vs. Evil Dead airs this Saturday night on Starz. When are we going to see your appearance as President Ronald Reagan on Fargo on FX?
Well, great question. We're doing everything we can to lock a date down.
Okay.
I think I'm in episode 5.
Is that awesome? Do you love it?
Yes, because who would not want to play Ronald Reagan?
Sure.
Are you kidding me?
And the series has been incredible so far. Season 2, every bit as good as season 1.
I got nervous, though, working on that show.
How come?
Well, I'm not an Emmy guy.
I beg to differ.
I'm not a Golden Globe kind of guy. So you get on that show, and I'm like, these are writers where you can't just put a button on, yeah, we'll shoot him in the face. You know what I mean? You can't. It's not like that. Where I'll finish the speech and go, hey, you know, or do a spit take. They would go, no, you're not doing
that. In other
words,
you've got to be a professional actor when you show up on Fargo.
I taped myself at first. I cut a little movie together. I went to a little studio and shot it because I'm like, if you guys think I suck, fire me now. because this is how I'm going to do it.
This is the best I can do.
This is all
I
got.
I am. Okay.
All I got. And I'm going to give you the chance to fire me if you think it's like, uh-oh, big mistake with Campbell.
Well, I love what they're doing on Fargo.
Let's get Tim Allen.
And I love, Brad Garrett is playing it straight, and he's terrific on this season so far.
But see, that's the crazy thing about actors. See, they're just actors. They're not who they play that was famous.
What?
You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Brad Garrett, I'll bet he's a serious guy. What do you think about that?
He's not.
No? Okay. Well, crap. There goes that theory.
Sorry to go in the other direction again. But...
Bruce, what's going on tonight at the Chinese Theater?
We're going to blow the doors off that place.
Tonight's the premiere. You're actually showing, the first two episodes of Ash vs. Evil Dead in the theater?
Oh, showing one anyway. I know that
one. Okay,
for sure.
All right.
And 7:00. We're going to show once for the invitees and then once for the savages.
Right.
They can then come in. And we're going to have two big screenings at the Chinese because, you know, they only show classy stuff.
Right.
So we said.
So this makes sense.
They said, where would you want to go with this? I said, I think there's only one place. So I'm glad that I can go while I'm not. I can star in a show while I'm not in a walker, and I can walk that red line still.
Fans are invited to come down to the premiere tonight at the TCL Chinese Theater at 7 o'clock. Apparently, Iggy Pop will be performing.
Iggy, please come down and watch Iggy blow the doors off the place. He's gonna perform, I think, a group of songs, and then we've agreed to do a fist fight immediately after the show.
Good.
It's a cage match supervised by the WWE.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Bruce Campbell, we love you. Congratulations on the show. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We are going to open up the phone lines right now here on the Kevin Bean Show. If you are a James Bond fan, Bruce, who's your favorite Bond of all the actors who have played the role?
Well, yes, of course, Moneypenny. There's only one true choice.
All right.
There's only one man among men, and that's Sean. Everyone else. Sorry.
I think we agree with you.
Sloppy seconds, everyone else.
If you want to see Daniel Craig as 007, we got a K-Rock screening a couple days before the official opening on the 6th. You get to see it on the 4th on the Sony Picture slot. You can call right now. If you're a Bond fan, we'll give you a chance to earn those tickets. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. There's a thing called Broga, you guys. Not a joke, not a Saturday Night Live skit. It is for real. It is called Broga. Apparently, men are late to the party, but they are now discovering the advantages of yoga. And I didn't realize this. Allie, maybe you know more about this than I do. I don't know anything about exercise. I didn't realize that many men are uncomfortable going to yoga classes with women. They don't like being in those kind of sometimes embarrassing pretzel-like positions around a lady. Is that a thing? Have you heard about that?
I think notoriously men can't stretch in the same way as ladies can. So
right.
If you see a woman just bendy like a pretzel and you can barely even bend over and touch your knees, that could be a little embarrassing for a man's ego.
Here's a financial analyst quoted in this story. His name is Eric Wright. He lives in San Jose. He says, I consider myself an athletic guy, but I've never been flexible, and I didn't like the thought of embarrassing myself in front of a group of women. So he and others go to this place called Broga, which apparently is huge. Apparently it's in 22 states now and spreading fast.
Last week, I think we talked about fat yoga. This time it's bro yoga.
That's right. Broga, right. So we wanted to find out more about this. So we asked Dave, who can we talk to? We do have an instructor, a Broga instructor named Braden Forrester is on the line. Mr. Forrester, thank you so much for joining us, sir. We appreciate it.
Yo, bros, what's up, man?
Whoa, that's a lot.
Broga!
What? Wait a second.
Broga!
That's not what I expected. I thought Broga was supposed to be, like, mellow, and it's supposed to be peaceful and quiet.
No way, man. We're more about the burn, about the stretch, than we are about getting your chakras aligned, you know? I'm your leader, man. I'm like Broby-Wan Kenobi.
I'm sorry that I don't really know anything about regular yoga, so I don't know how is Broga different.
Different ways. You know, we're not all touchy-feely. No homo, man. No homo.
What?
Very bro.
We're no homo.
Right, I understand. Yeah, you're just talking about the
about the burn,
just...
about the stretch.
Right,
feel your muscles tear. About sweating. It's not about find your inner peace, man. Forget about it. Wow.
are there any yoga moves, or are you just not doing anything?
Of course, we have yoga moves.
Like
the Pillsbury Bro Boy. The roller coaster. Brogy Bear. Hootie and the Brofish. Beer pong.
What?
Oh.
Beer pong.
about a move. I just really love beer pong.
Yeah.
Bruce!
Now, is there a guitar in the class with you, or is...
No, it just comes out of me. I don't know why.
Oh, that's coming out of you.
Yeah, ever since I started using Axe body spray.
And you're finding that men are enjoying this? Are they feeling peaceful when they walk out?
All kinds of men. White dudes, Asian dudes, Afro-Americans.
Wow.
Pop your collar and come on down. It's sweet!
Sounds like we're missing out, Kevin.
Is this super popular? Do you have a lot of guys coming?
Yeah, like three.
I'm sorry, three?
Yeah, we do it in my basement.
Oh, that's not what I thought it was at all then.
Mostly we just play Madden.
Tell everyone you know, 7 o'clock this morning, Fall Out Boy will be here at the world-famous K-Rock for an interview and performance live acoustic in the K-Rock Red Bull sound space, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, they played last night at the Hollywood Bowl with Wiz Khalifa at the end of their Boys of Summer tour. So I've been getting a lot of heat from you guys, and I guess you want to talk about it here, about me and Josh Gad.
It's inexplicable.
It's insane.
I agree with you, but I can't do anything about it. Look, here's the topic. There are some celebrities that, for whatever reason that you cannot put your finger on, rub you the wrong way. And Josh Gad is that guy for me. And I know what you're going to say is he's talented and he's funny and he's smart and he's nice and he's never been in a bad thing. And those are all legitimate reasons.
Pixels. But other than Pixels, he's done good work.
And I thought after we had him on to talk about the comedians and he was so delightful and so charming and so funny, right after that I said, Bean, what do you think? He goes, he was great. Still don't like him.
You'd think that would cure him. You think that would cure him. Yes. That experience would cure me. But no, he's like, I don't like him.
But you know what it's like, guys. There's some people that you just don't want to see their fat, furry faces on your TV. Oh, they just show up and you go, tell me if I'm wrong, Ralph. Who's that guy that you used to always make fun of on 30 Rock? The guy who wears the silly hats.
Oh, that dope.
That guy. He's a very funny comedian. He's a very funny, very talented actor.
I can point to it and say, I don't like his dumbass hats, his trucker hats with the lame jokes on them. Just
so you don't have any problem with him. You just didn't like that character wearing those hats.
He wears them. That guy wears them, too. It wasn't the character. That guy wore them before the character and after the character. Those dumbass trucker hats with sayings on them. Stop that, dumbass guy.
So you've got a reason, but you're saying with Josh Gad, I don't have a reason.
There's anti-reasons. He's better than most people, let alone as good as.
He is a delight. Besides the fact that he is a Dolphins fan, I think he is a wonderful...
How dare you?
Sorry, Chip.
Well, we do have to hold that against him.
That's the only thing I can think.
Charming. Every time he's been on the show, he's been on like twice. Just brings it, entertaining, funny.
Yep.
Delightful.
I mean,
on top of his body of work, which is tremendous.
I can't argue with that, but I mean, like you were heavy into the comedians, his TV
the
show,
comedians.
And I love Billy Crystal too, and really wanted to watch it for that reason. But Josh Gad was a deal breaker for me. The fact that he co-starred in that meant I couldn't watch it.
That is madness.
No sense. None.
I don't know what to tell you guys.
How can we figure it out if you don't know what to tell us?
But aren't you the same way with Jennifer Aniston?
Well, no. She's a bitch.
What's wrong with her? She's very talented and very funny.
First of all, very talented?
Yes. She's very talented.
She's fine. She could be fine in some projects.
She's been really funny. What about that road trip going to Mexico with the hookers movie? What about that?
I love road trip going to Mexico with the hookers.
You know that one. Chip, help me out. Which one am I thinking of?
Chip
doesn't know.
I'm usually good at this, but I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wasn't it with like Ed Helms or somebody?
Oh, and they were smuggling drugs or something?
Yes, smuggling drugs across the border.
Meet the Millers?
Yes, Meet the Millers. Yes. Very funny in that. I didn't see it, by the way, but very funny.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
She was great in The Breakup. I did see that. She was great in The Breakup.
She was very talented.
The breakup, but she seems just pissy.
Really?
She seems just cranky. Just. Ugh.
But do you ever see her when she's on talk shows, when she's on Kimmel or something like that? She's always funny and
very
delightful.
Likeable.
Yeah, very likable.
She's covering up something. She strikes me as one of those people who's like pretending to be nice, but she really just has a deep-seated, hard core of blah.
Did you feel that way back when the whole world had a crush on Rachel during the Friends years?
She was always my least favorite friend.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get a bad Rachel cut and that did it?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was my haircut. When I tried to emulate the Rachel cut, it turned out poorly, and I never forgave her. No, she just seems... Like she's just a
a bad egg. Cranky, just not particularly. Light takes herself way too seriously. Just seems just.
She finally got a man to marry her again.
Yeah, well, he had to with that whole gunpoint thing.
I don't think that's a. There's
any evidence of that.
We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a celebrity that you can't articulate maybe why you dislike this person so much, but you feel it, we want to hear from you. Who's the celebrity and why don't you like him or her? 1-800-520-1067. Monica already wrote in and she said, I like his music. I think he's funny, but I can't stand him as an actor or a person. Jack Black.
Really?
How
he's
dare
so
you,
over the
ma'am.
Top, dramatic, and fake Bleck. Now, this is somebody who says she likes his acting, likes his music, but Jack Black personally drives her crazy because of his demeanor.
Well, as people that know him personally, he couldn't be a kinder, more gentle, likable human.
He's a jolly old elf.
Yeah.
You're wrong, lady.
Valerie
Jennifer Aniston. Ugh. Right? Who's with me on that one? Doesn't she seem like just a chap ass? Like she's just...
No, I
high
look.
Maintenance, just... Ugh, blue.
Has it always been this way?
Always.
Or, okay, I was going to say maybe I can pinpoint it. Your friendship with Chelsea Handler?
Well, that certainly did not help her cause at all in my book.
I would think that
would be
it.
But this was back to the Leprechaun days.
All right, but... Oh, Leprechaun, that's an early movie reference.
Oh, my God, what a pull.
But let me ask you this, Ralph. I believe that the tabloids have shaped a lot of people's opinion of Jennifer Aniston. It's no fault of her own that every single week at the tabloids you see she's fighting or she's divorcing or she's breaking up or she's aborting or whatever it is they're accusing her of doing that week.
What the heck?
I'm just saying, I feel like there's so much written and speculated about her that has nothing to do with her. And is it possible that maybe some of that is coloring your perception of Jennifer Aniston?
I suppose. I mean, if you just walk around the world, you're going to absorb some stuff. But I'm not a particular reader of the tabloids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I sit down and go through Us Weekly magazine.
No, but in the course of you putting together your showbiz beat, you see a lot of stories, even
ones
you
don't
do.
It's more of a hit I get off of personal... When I watch her, when I watch her in interviews or I watch her on television or on a talk show or in her work, I get that hit. Sometimes you just can't help it.
Allie, I want to hear from you, but let's go to Rudy First Line One. He's in Orange. Now here's an example of somebody that I think the rest of us are going to look at and go, how could anyone dislike this person? He's so awesome. Rudy, what's going on with you?
Hey guys, good morning.
Hey Rudy,
good morning. Right when you guys started talking right away, my mind went directly to Michael Cera. I can't stand that guy. All his acting chops are at about level one. He's just the same as Adam Sandler. I can't stand looking at the guy. Maybe it is this Toucan Sam face. I don't know what it is. I can't stand the guy.
Sam face.
But you understand the way he's acting is perfect for the characters that he's playing, though. Perfect.
No, I get that, but it's just like, I'm seriously like getting pissed off, and I'm like, what are you talking about the guy?
We are ruining his day.
I know. But like when you watch, you have to like Arrested Development, right? One of the greatest shows of all time.
Never watched it because he's in it.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, because that's when you really appreciate what a brilliant actor he is and the subtlety of his performance. And he conveys so much with his Toucan Sam face.
If it's anything like his little witty remarks that he does in all his other movies, no way in hell I'm watching it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to put you down as a no for Michael Cera. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate
Here's the thing in Rudy's defense. Michael Cera does tend to play the same guy over and over again. And if that vibe, if that particular quirky nature of that character is not your taste, I could see where that would wear thin.
Yeah. He knows what he's good at, that's for sure. All right, let's take Danielle in Gardena, line three, please. This one I think is going to surprise you. One of the most acclaimed and accomplished actors of all time is the one who bugs Danielle. Welcome to the show, my dear. What's going on?
Good morning. I have a loathing, deep-seated hate for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wow.
Yes.
But I thought all girls were in love with him since Titanic.
No, I even call him that guy because I refuse to say his name. My whole family knows who I mean when I say that guy.
Wow, that'll teach him.
So
you taught him, Danielle.
What is it about him you don't like? Because you can't give him the Michael Cera treatment. He has played lots of different kinds of roles.
I don't know. I, I, really, I have no way of pinpointing it. I hate him. I see him on TV, I change the channel. Even at the award shows, he's walking the red carpet. I will change until I figure he's off the TV. I hate him.
This is a whole other level.
Yeah,
of hatred.
It really is.
Her whole family's aware of when she talks about him.
That guy. It's like your arch nemesis. He has to know you exist, and you have an arch nemesis.
Yes.
All right, Danielle.
Wow, that's
good
nuts.
Luck with that.
Thank you, I guess.
Okay, thank you indeed. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Look at this list of celebrities that are hated by our audience, Ralph. Well, look at this list.
John and Whittier, he's got a reason. Everyone else, John, I'm a little confused by.
We're hanging up on you and Adam Sandler, sorry. All right, your call is coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. Talk about the celebrities you hate for no reason. Although Mina writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, she says she has a reason. Angelina Jolie.
Huh.
I don't buy her philanthropic image at all. I think she's fake and contrived, and I cannot stand her.
That's dumb.
It is dumb because can't you verify it's not a philanthropic image? She
right.
literally gives millions of dollars away yes. to help kids.
She's been like walking through impoverished villages in Guyana, for God's sakes, holding infants and like
yes.
suckling them from her own breasts.
Wow. Too far.
No, it's not. She's done it.
She's done that.
She has.
But isn't it, I think Ralph's point is, isn't it the opposite of fake and contrived because she's literally on the ground doing all of those things?
No one has worked harder to create a fake image if her image is fake than she has with all the time, money and energy she spends doing wonderful things around the globe.
Stephen writes in, Maggie Gyllenhaal is the bane of my existence. I think it's just because of her face, because I don't have any other reason.
Yeah. I think that some of it is physical. It just is there's a gut reaction to someone's physicality that bothers you.
And we're going to go back to the phones after this. So the Kevin and Bean text account, by the way, which is 2KROCK. If you ever want to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show, it's 25767. Sacramento writes in, I hate Rivers Cuomo. I don't know why, but by extension, it makes Weezer seem annoying to me. He's just a weird, creepy dude, and I hate him. Rivers Cuomo. We love him, right?
We do. He's the best.
All right. Let's get back to some calls. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for celebrities that you hate, but you don't know why, necessarily. Okay? That's the distinction, because a lot of people are calling with your Kristen Stewarts and your Keanu Reeves, and it's pretty evident why in those cases, right? Let's try Paul in Anaheim. He's on line one. He's got one who's a celebrity that I consider universally adored, but apparently maybe not. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I don't know what it is, but Melissa McCarthy. I don't know what it is. I just find her so annoying, and she's the same in every movie. She's the reason I didn't see Spy, and she's probably the reason why I'm not going to see Ghostbusters, and it really breaks my heart.
Wow. She's a national treasure. She's a comedic genius.
National treasure? No!
Paul, it's okay. Calm down. Things are going to work out.
Ralph, your thoughts on Melissa McCarthy?
I don't understand that at all. I mean, doesn't it strike you as odd, Paul, when you say, well, it's like being with Josh Gad. If everyone loves her and adores her and thinks she's so funny, doesn't that make you wonder?
I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that everybody does.
You're just a contrarian.
A little hipster backlash.
You hated Melissa McCarthy before anyone did. Yeah. You can hang your hat on that, Paul.
All right, Paul, let me ask this, and I hate to bring it up, but I know people are thinking it. Is it just because she's a bigger lady? Is that it,
no,
maybe?
Not at all.
Okay. All right, then you're wrong. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it,
More
sir.
More cushion for the pushing, right, Paul?
That's right. Let's go to Freddie LaPuente, line three. Oh, talk about a hack. I can see why Freddie got it in for this actress. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Freddie. Yeah. Who do you hate?
I hate Meryl Streep, and I know why.
She's the worst.
Oh, that bitch.
She's the worst. She's terrible at everything.
Because of Kramer versus Kramer. That's why I hate her. Because
she walked out on her son?
That's why.
Does it hit a little close to home, Freddie?
She got custody back.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. That's why I hate her.
You know what? You have a point.
Freddie.
That was the wrong decision. I know. Dustin Hoffman needed a better lawyer. That's the only
reason. Okay. All right. Well, at least you got a legitimate reason for hating Meryl Streep for the last 40 years.
Because of a fictional judge's decision in a fictional custody case.
Because she acted in a movie, you didn't like the way it went. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Marlene, please. Line six, Los Angeles.
That's why I don't like Leonardo DiCaprio, because that damn boat went down. What the hell is that all about? Why didn't he do more to keep the boat up?
His fault, man.
Right.
How about a little less posing on the bow and a little more throwing water over the side?
That's right.
Or all right, Marlene, you're up next.
Over the side, as sometimes they call it.
What's going on, dear?
Seth Rogen.
What?
What? He looks like he would smell. Like, he looks like Big Ken in Charlie Brown. Like, I don't want to be around him. I don't want to see him on a big screen.
Wow.
The way he laughs, it just really rubs me the wrong way.
Hmm. I mean, he is, look, we love Seth, and he's a funny and a super nice guy, but I get what you're saying, that he's hairy and smokes a lot of weed, and maybe you think about that in confined quarters, it doesn't smell good to you.
Yeah, and just the laughing after everything he says, it's almost like he's apologizing for saying it, and I want him, you know what I mean, I want him to be a little bit stronger with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from. You're wrong, but I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much.
Let's get to number seven, someone we can all agree on, please. Can we do that?
We'll get to her. Here's another one on the Kevin Bean text line from the 951. Jake Gyllenhaal. I understand he's a great actor and can do so much, but he creeps me out, and I'm not sure when that started.
Wow,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Both Gyllenhaals getting hit today.
Again, a terrific actor. All right, let's go to let's go to Ashley on line three in Torrance, please. Let's see if we can break this one down.
Hi, guys.
Who's a celebrity you hate, but you don't know why?
I know this is going to sound really, really bad because he's in the same building with you guys, but I can't stand Carson Daly.
What? Nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, I think it's pretty annoying.
What is it about Carson? Because as Ralph has pointed out many times, you watch him on the Voice and you go, that's a guy who knows how to host a show. He's really good at it.
I mean, I don't feel that way when I watch him on The Voice, that's for sure.
Wow.
Is it just too much, Carson? Because it seemed at one point he was on everything. You couldn't shake a dead something. What is it? Dead cat? Swing a dead cat?
I hate Ally McKay. Does that count?
So you don't know what it is. There's just something about his face you don't like.
Yeah, I just feel like he just overly talks. He's like an aggressive talker. He's always interrupting people. But
he's an aggressive talker.
I hate those talk show hosts that do all that talking.
Was he all right, let me ask you this. I'm just fishy here. But did you grow up on TRL and he was mean to NSYNC or something? Is that where it started?
No, I used to love him on TRL. And then I started listening to him on the radio, and that's what killed it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to one who's wrong wrap this up.
Who's
Megan
right.
in San Dimas on line seven, please. Clearly, she's thinking of a different celebrity. They put the wrong name up on the screen. We'll see what's happening here. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Who's the celebrity that you dislike the most?
I cannot stand Taylor Swift.
Preach, sister.
Yeah,
preach.
We get it.
Boy, you're wrong about that.
You're
what's the
so pro- right.
What's the problem there? That she's just so pretty and so talented and so nice and so smart?
Well,
are those the
like-
reasons you dislike her?
And then she looks like a dumb cat, and I think her bubbly personality is just like a for a lack of personality, you know? Like, there's something wrong there.
Doesn't she seem completely artificial to you, Megan? Like, everything she does is calculated and put on. I don't find anything authentic about her at all.
Completely. And every time, I'm sorry, Bean, every time you say her name, my eyes roll so far into the back of my head.
Yeah. We can feel it.
They're going to get stuck.
Right.
Now we have a name for that feeling. It's Megan rolling her eyes because we do it too.
Yes.
So she's having too much fun being awesome, if I'm interpreting you correctly.
She's having too much fun annoying me, really.
Annoying you. Okay. Yeah. All right, Megan, you're wrong, but we love you and thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
She's a bitch.